love Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Tony.
I'm a guy of average size, average speed, average quickness, average looks, average intelligence, average carpentry skills.
And Alex.
Why do you get mixed up with that bitch?
Because she got a great ass. And you got your head all the way up it.
Jesus.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Tony, and you're listening to a brand new episode of Comic Conversations, episode 185, where we talk all things comics for the week of March 15th, 2017. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Alex. Alex, how are you doing today?
We really got to drop Jack saying, I love Marvel.
Why? Because we review more than just Marvel books now?
Well, because we haven't really been loving Marvel. So, it feels like a lie.
Because God forbid, right?
Yeah, I
see where you're coming from. It actually does make sense. The emphasis always of the podcast has been the Marvel stuff. We obviously read Image and Valiant and other publishers, but you're right. Nowadays, it seems like we like DC more than Marvel nowadays, so it actually does make sense.
Maybe I'll get Jack to say I really love DC.
It won't be the same, though, because he'll be older.
He's still cute.
That's true. Well, so. That's debatable.
He is.
I think I told you, I think you posted a couple of photos of Jack online. I'm like, yeah, he's getting to that age where he's not cute anymore.
That's so mean.
Hey, he's not my son, cute. So what do I care, right?
Well, yeah, I know, but like, I'm an honest enough person that if my son wasn't cute, I would admit it.
Mm. But maybe you have blinders on because he's your son. You're always going to think he's cute.
No, that's impossible.
All right, let's go into our first segment this week, news.
I ain't happy, I'm feeling glad I got sunshine. In a bag, I'm useless, but not for long, the future is coming on. I ain't happy, I'm feeling glad I got sunshine. In a bag, I'm useless, but not for long, the future is coming on. It's coming on, it's coming on, it's coming on.
Dance Monkey, do your thing.
Oh, that has a comic connection.
Does it?
Yeah, because Damon Albarn from Blur, he created the Gorillaz with the guy who created Tank Girl, which was a comic before it was a bad movie.
You know, when they do live shows, they don't actually like perform in front of the audience. They perform behind a screen.
I've seen them in concert.
That seems like a waste of money.
Did you ever see, I think it was the Grammys or something, they performed and they had 3D holograms?
That sounds actually kind of cool. I may look that up.
It was the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Should be.
The fact that 3D holograms exist.
It's bad enough that dubstep are a bunch of robots. So
no, that's okay.
Do you want to explain to the folks why I picked that for the news theme this week?
That was one of my karaoke songs.
Yeah. I was hoping you were going to do your trick, Monkey. I feel like we stalled.
Oh, long. You wanted me to go?
Yeah. It's coming up to the rap part. So we stall enough so maybe you can rap alongside.
What verse are we on?
The essence, the basics, without it you make it. Allow me to make this childlike in nature. Rhythm.
I don't want to.
You had one job.
He has such a good flow.
Oh, that's not what you were saying on Facebook chat. You're like, oh, I got such a master flow when I'm up there doing my karaoke thing.
I do, but he's better.
Well, duh. I mean,
that's why he's famous.
Well, that's debatable because we don't know who he is.
Also, he's not white. Well, technically, that character was a bunch of different rappers.
Mm-hmm.
So, some of them are famous.
Oh, well. It was worth an effort. I was like, let's see. I'll pick the song and I'll put Alex.
Sorry, I didn't know. I didn't know you wanted me to do it. I
only alluded to it. You're like, you told me that you like Clint Eastwood. I'm like, of all songs that do karaoke, Clint Eastwood, really? So I was like, oh, you better not hope it's my week to pick news this week.
It's impressive if you know all the words.
Yeah.
So.
All right, let's go over this week's news. And with our first lead story, obviously we teased it before. We talked about it before. But we have a name of the new DC crossover since Rebirth. This is their first crossover. It is called Dark Days, The Forge, and Dark Days, The Casting. And as we talked before in the past, a follow-up story that from a couple of weeks back, Snyder is leading this bad boy.
Yeah, I'm pretty upset. Like, I famously not a fan of Snyder's Batman.
Mm.
And if we go by, this is the first big DC crossover since Rebirth, and Snyder's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the artists I don't care about, Romita Jr., I know he's like a classic now. I'm not a huge fan of his art anymore. Kubert's, you know.
Yeah, the artists attached to this are Andy Kuber, Jim Lee, and John Romita Jr.
Yeah, and I hate Jim Lee. I was never a huge fan of Jim Lee, and now I really don't like him, so. It's like I read this and I think, okay, so we're going to have a bunch of characters probably, just going by what I know of Snyder, fighting the Joker and posing a lot. I don't like Jim Lee's art. I don't think he can draw action anymore, but, you know, we're going to read this because we're in DC now. It's just, I think going back to Snyder is a mistake, but, you know, he's successful. So
yeah, I feel like we're in the minority when it comes to Snyder, because you know we're big fans of King, and you'd hope if they would do something that's a big crossover that's focused, the focal character is Batman, you'd hope you'd have King do it, considering he's writing the mainline Batman title.
No, it's not that. It's just DC has so many good books now, and none of them are being written by Snyder.
Mm.
So why not give it to one of the guys who's helped to reinvigorate your line after you killed it with New 52?
Well, but included in that discussion is King, but I guess you've also gone in the...
Well, yeah, he's there, but I'm just saying there are other guys.
Dan Abnett?
You know, yes. And I mean, the argument with Snyder is it's like, well, yeah, he got big during New 52, but he wrote one of the only books people liked and kept buying. So, I mean, if you look at it that way, it's fair enough. I don't deny the guy is successful. It's just I don't like him. I don't like Jeff Johns either, but, I mean, I would prefer if he wrote it since he wrote the Rebirth book. But then again, this is a big crossover. They're not promising it's a big crossover and it's the next step in the Rebirth storyline. They're not saying that. They're just saying it's a big crossover. DC crossovers are weird because, I mean, in Marvel, well, their crossovers have sucked lately, but if you do a big Marvel crossover, back in the day at least, you'd have, you know, you could have the Fantastic Four and the X-Men and the Avengers come together. In DC, you do a big crossover, you have basically the Justice League come together, who are already a team and who already have a book. Like, Marvel doesn't currently have all of their big characters on one team. They split them up because they're all sectioned off into these different areas. DC does, though. All their big characters are on one team.
And Cyborg.
All their big characters and Cyborg.
We had to get her digging.
And also, the write-ups about it is like, oh, we're going to show the dark underbelly of DC. And it's like, does Snyder not understand that one of the problems with New 52 was it was so dark and people hated it and they resented it. And then when Rebirth came out, it was a little less dark and people liked it more.
Mm-hmm.
It just sounds to me like they're like, oh, let's go back to that well that we fucking tapped dry and it stopped working. Let's kill someone.
Yeah. At the same time, it's hard to admit when you're wrong because they invested so much in the New 52, the new direction. And Rebirth kind of felt like we were forcing them to go back to regular form.
I know, but Jim Lee and Jeff Johns were coming out and openly talking about this is what didn't work in the New 52. This is what we are doing now. Like, they admitted it. Powerful executives in that company admitted what was wrong with it. But now they're going back to it. And since they haven't promised, you know, tie-ins to the Rebirth thing, I almost get the sense, like, this is just a story Snyder had, like, sitting in his back pocket, and he never got to do it, and now they're just going to throw it out there. Because originally it was like, okay, we're going to do this storyline, it's going to go for 2-3 years, and then we're going to have the big reveal, and then they realize, wait, we haven't had an event in a long time. We better just fucking toss an event out and just see what happens.
Well, I mean, you're speculating. We don't know anything other than the title and the creative attached to it. So who's to say if it's going to be DC going back on their word and going back to the stuff that drove people away with the New 52?
Well, like, they said it was going to be dark. Like, that's in the write-up on it.
Yeah, but when you have Batman as your lead character, obviously it's not a Batman crossover. It's a DC crossover. But as we saw from the story a while back, that it's going to be a Batman-centric DC universe crossover.
I guess, but couldn't that just be because Snyder's writing it and that's what he's known for?
Yeah, well, that's it.
And fucking Tom King's going to be there like, okay, I'll just keep writing the good Batman book that outsells Snyder's Batman book.
Hey, I'll say this much. My biggest complaint of Tom King's run so far has been how he's telling really good stories, but every now and then it's interrupted with a crossover. It's interrupted with something that he has to tie in. If Snyder's going to write the crossover and King's going to be left to himself to write the stories that he wants to write, even better.
What if it ties into every single book in DC, though?
Ah, you're right. It may do that.
They said it was a massive summer event. So that says to me every single fucking book. And also, since I don't like his Batman, the fact that this deals with something he started in his Batman... Oh, and actually, now that I'm reading it, it does say, huge revelations about the past, present, and future of the cosmology of DC. Did he really hint at that shit in his run on Batman?
Not really, not that I remember. I mean, obviously, I read more than you, but there were large pockets, especially the Year Zero, that, you know, you're talking about a year-long storyline, and I completely tuned out for that. So I can't say it one way or another, but I think I felt, especially with the New 52 stuff, I read most of his run.
And this is frightening, too. Described Hubert Lee Romano Jr. as driving DC's initiative to, quote, bring artists to the forefront of the storytelling process. That is why Image failed.
Because they let artists call the shots. And notoriously not great writers.
I freely admit... A part of my negativity on this is the fact that Marvel has been doing bad crossovers. And I know Marvel is not DC right now, but still, crossovers more often than not are bad. They're bad. They just are. They have been for some time. But, you know, and just with them describing this, and I know comic publishers, they always talk up their events and, you know, this is going to be the most important thing ever, and it's going to completely change everything for the DC universe. They're fucking comparing it to Crisis on Infinite Earths here. I don't think Snyder should be given that much
Who
power.
Who did the write-up on this? Tony Schiavone of WCW fame?
Possibly.
It's the greatest night in the history of our sport.
Tony Schiavone is writing press for DC.
Well, we talked about this when they did that.
We love you, Scott Snyder.
We talked about this when they did that that Alan Moore crossover from Avatar Press. How they kept putting over what was that book he did?
The Cthulhu thing.
Whatever it was, but that
Providence, which hasn't ended, by the way.
But they kept putting that over as the biggest comic book of all time, and
the best horror comic of all time.
Yeah, but still, we laughed at that. It's like, okay, we know who did the write up on this, former WCW announcer Tony Schiavone, because he was notorious for saying, you know, every night of WCW was the greatest night in the
history of our sport. It's true. WWE never says the greatest night in the history of entertainment.
No.
So.
But yeah, that is the, we got some more details as far as the announcement of that. We got the name of it and we got the creative attached to it. So I don't know. I'm one of these people. It's like up until now, DC hasn't really given me reason to doubt them. And yeah, I'm skeptical on this, but, it's one of these things where it's touch and go. Like, okay, this doesn't look promising, but Up until now.
I'm not going to not read it.
Yeah, well, it'd be weird if we didn't read it, considering we're full on board DC. We even talked about it at the beginning of the show that, you know, we used to be a Marvel-centric show, and now it seems like, even though we still read Marvel stuff, it's primarily a DC-centric show.
Yeah, that's okay. What's next in news?
Funny you bring up artists, especially when it comes to Image. They're teasing from, according to June solicitations, that the Authority would be coming back, but the thing is, they haven't shown whether or not it will be in the Wildstorm universe as part of the DC Rebirth continuity. Now, presumably, you think it'd be part of Wildstorm, but you don't know for sure. Hitch is attached to, at least as far as the art is concerned. So,
which Hitch was the original artist on Authority. So, have they confirmed a writer?
Ellis, obviously.
Ellis is writing it?
Mm-hmm.
It's in Wildstorm then.
Okay. Yeah, there's no 100%
the reason why is
go ahead.
That's Ellis's that's his corner of comics right now, mm-hmm. right? So they're not going to bring back the original artist and the original writer of Authority and then put it in the DC universe. They're going to do it in Ellis's own little thing. So they can get some buzz, because that actually is a really big deal,
mm-hmm.
that they're finally bringing Authority back. And all the other times they finally brought Authority back, they didn't have Ellis writing it, and it was a pile of shit. And trying to put them into the DC universe means it's going to be a pile of shit. And it also means big things will happen in the Wildstorm book, because right now we're on issue 2. The Authority don't really fit in.
Yeah.
So.
Spoilers for reviews
I'm
later.
Hyped.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hyped for that. I'm pretty excited. Ellis's Authority was just fantastic, and Miller's was not.
Oh, here's a question. I'm looking at his name, the way it's spelled. Is it pronounced Millar or is it pronounced Miller? I've always wondered that.
Miller, it's Mark Miller.
It's M-I-L-L-A-R.
It's Miller.
Okay, I've heard it pronounced Millar, that's why, and I'm thinking, you know, it kind of looks like it's spelled Millar.
Every time everybody's ever said his name that I've heard, which, to be fair, isn't often, they always said Miller.
Mm. There you go. Yeah, the only reason why I'm speculating that maybe it might be part of the normal DC universe is because Hitch is attached and he currently writes and draws the Justice League book. So, and we got no 100% confirmation of where the Authority will be lining up.
It's a gimmick.
Yep. All right. That's going to do it for the DC portion of the show, at least as far as news is concerned. Let's move on to Marvel with a bunch of books that have been left off of May solicitations, including Black Panther, World of Wakanda, Silk, Great Lakes Avengers, Thunderbolts, Gamora, Deadpool and the Mercs for Money, Ghost Rider, and Silver Surfer.
Okay, if we can make guesses here.
Mm-hmm.
Great Lakes Avengers is being canceled.
We knew that from day one.
Yes. Ghost Rider is being canceled. I will go into more detail on that after I go through this list. Thunderbolts may be being canceled, or they may be waiting for a relaunch. We don't know how, like, Secret Empire is going to affect Kobik.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be something there. Silk is going to be canceled. I can't believe Silk has made it as long as it has. The character is not over.
Yeah.
And nobody reads that fucking book. Nobody ever talks about that character. So.
Funny story from, obviously, I think it was a month ago. I met Scott Snyder. Not Scott Snyder. Jeez. I have my head from a couple of news stories back. But I met Dan Slott at a comic book store signing. And one of the things he mentioned, how he was not on board for the original Sin crossover, and he was pretty much forced to do it. He's like, look, not only do you have to do the crossover, but it has to be something big that affects the Marvel continuity going forward, and that included Silk. And I guess she caught on, eventually got her own title, but it was just funny, because we thought, you know, it's original Sin, you know, it'd be an instance where we thought the writers were going to be fully on board, because it was an idea to, you know, throw something into the mix.
Yeah, it gives them a storyline.
Yeah, well, but apparently not everybody was on board, so. But it's one of these things that were immediately, I was skeptical, but then I liked the Silk title, but I think they, I think they did a creative change, and I think that's where I turned on the book. But yeah, I'm surprised it made it as long as it did. But with the announcement of all these Spider-Man titles going forward, I'm surprised that, like you, it lasted as long as it did.
Yeah, and Silver Surfer, that not being on solicitations, I mean, Silver Surfer has not been on solicitations for like 3 months at a time,
mm-hmm.
because presumably All Red works slow.
And that's going to get worse if he's doing that bug book.
Yeah, it does. I don't think that one means anything. I mean, that book's coming out like tri-monthly at this point.
Tell him try.
Yeah, tell him try.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help but fit in my Triple H reference.
It's try. No, but I mean, that book could be continuing. So, Ghost Rider, on this show, we have been fans of Robbie Reyes as a character. I don't think we have ever been fans of his comics.
There was a time, I think the original run, that we kind of liked it.
With the really bad art?
Yeah, and we liked the writing, but then obviously got canceled. And then they resurrected the title because apparently he was a character on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. live-action show, and they wanted some synergy from that. But yeah,
series has gotten no hype.
And I told you, from reading issues 2 and 3, it read nothing like a Ghost Rider book, and he was barely in it. It was basically a Hulk and Wolverine book.
Yeah, it just, he's not, as much as we like the character, he is not over.
No.
Like, people, when they think Ghost Rider, they think fucking, you know, Danny or Johnny Blaze,
mm-hmm.
and a motorcycle. And not a skull head that looks like a skull mask, but a fucking flaming skull for a head. Like, he's not Ghost Rider. He's Ghost Drag Racer. Ghost Speed Racer. Whatever. He's not fucking Ghost Rider. That's the key to it. And they've tried it twice now, and it hasn't worked either time. So let's give him a fucking rest. Can we please just bring back the real Ghost Rider?
Yeah.
Like,
that'd be great. I don't know if they're gonna get my solo series.
Robbie Reyes something else, because he doesn't look like Ghost Rider.
No, not at all. But yeah. I think they wanted an Hispanic superhero, and they gave it to Ghost Rider, obviously because of the low rider car. But I'm just like, okay, whatever. I'm not on board. I don't like it. The character will eventually won me over. But aside from that, they only brought the character back was because of the TV show. And then when they announced that they weren't going to use him on the TV show anymore, it's like, okay, not only were comic book readers not a fan of this current run, but the reason why we brought him back no longer exists. So let's just pull his title.
Yep. Yep.
All right. And a final news story that I felt like discussing because it involved one of my comic book boys. We got the lineup for the new Generation X title. Now, the gimmick seems to be going forward. It's going to be a bunch of newer X-Men with Jubilee as their leader. So, obviously, you have my boy, Kid Omega. And then a couple of new exceptions that I've seen. Morph. I never knew he was a character in the comic book. I knew he was a character on the TV show.
He was in Exiles.
Okay.
Which ran for a long time. He was from the Age of Apocalypse continuity.
Mm.
He changed shape. He wasn't like, he looked different from the guy in the show. Like, he wasn't just a normal looking guy who could change shape, but he was in Exiles, and he was in the eventual Exiles Rebirth. Like, he has been a character. They might just be introducing a new one. Is Glob Herman announced for the team?
They tease it, but I don't think he's part of the core cast.
As long as he's in the book, it's okay. So you might have noticed I'm kind of a fan of team superhero books.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to like them. I'm a big fan of Champions right now. I like Teen Titans.
This should be right up your alley then. Obviously, you know, Jubilee excluded. You're talking Morph, a new Morph, iBoy, Quentin Quire, my boy. Other hindsight.
I liked Wolverine and the X-Men, which was mainly about the young kids. Yeah, I'm gonna read it. I don't know how good it's gonna be. The thing is, the X-Men aren't terribly over right now, but since they finally, I don't want to say they've given up on the Inhumans, but since they've given up on the Inhumans, they're sending the ones everybody cares about to outer space. I think it might be them. Like, okay, let's give the X-Men some shine.
Yeah, because considering I usually go to comic book stores and I buy solicitation books. Not DC. Marvel is going full board with X-Men. They're doing a bunch of nostalgic things as far as bringing back the, you know, limited prints of the old stuff. But as far as the X-Men stuff, it's like title after title after title. And it's like, okay, they've gotten the message that people want X-Men. But it also seems to be, ever since Secret Wars, I think a couple years back, they're on this nostalgia kick. Obviously, we saw that in Spider-Man with the clone stuff. And now with the return of the X-Men, apparently they seem to think nostalgia is the way to go going forward.
The reason I question a book like this is because normally you do a book, and if it is successful, you do a spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel is announcing spinoffs before the fucking book even launches. And the X-Men, I mean, they're doing good, but they're not in the top tier anymore. And you could make the argument that's because they're not positioned to be, and now they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But still, they're not the top tier team anymore. They don't sell that way. So is it really good to push, okay, we're relaunching X-Men. They're going to get two new books, and, you know, it's going to be like the good old days when people gave a shit about X-Men. And, oh, here's a fucking Gambit book. And, oh, here's a fucking Generation X book. And, oh, we're going to do New Mutants, too. That's probably coming. And, oh, let's do X-Factor. Like, they're going to flood the market, which doesn't work anymore. Like, that hasn't worked in forever. So I question the wisdom of doing that. But, you know, whatever. Points to them for trying it. We're getting Quentin Quire back, so that's cool.
Whoop, whoop.
Depending on how well written it is.
Yeah. That remains to be seen, but I'm...
Well, they can... Since we haven't seen Quentin Quire since Secret Wars, they can do whatever they want with him.
Yeah. I think that you would want to keep the character similar to how it had been written before in the past, but that could be an example of them given an opportunity so they can tweak the character.
Well, I want Dick Quentin Quire back. He kind of left.
I like the faux rebel, the one from the Aaron run.
Well, no, I mean, the Morrison one was the rebel one. Like, that was when he tried to turn against the entire fucking school, but since then, they've been softening the character.
Well, that's why I said the faux rebel, because he was a fixture.
Oh, where he wasn't really a dick.
Yeah, he pretended like he was, because that was his shtick, that was his gimmick, but,
yeah.
You know.
I liked him more when it wasn't his gimmick, where he actually was that way, instead of when he was really just a nice guy who wanted to be loved. Like, that's boring to me. I want him to be a dick. Fucking rip it on the other New Mutants and make fun of Jubilee for being an old vampire.
I'm shocked they haven't retconned that, but at the same time, I'm sort of kudos as far as, you know, it's something that happened in the past, and instead of running away from it, they just embraced it.
Well, it's not like it matters. Like, she goes out in the sun, and you never see her drinking blood.
But besides,
if she's in charge of this team, we'll get to see Shogo.
Yeah, that's right. Think about that.
Abu. Shogo in forever.
Abu.
Yeah, I love Shoma.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's news. Let's move on to our next segment, this week's books. Wouldn't be Comic Conversations unless we had this week's books theme either be a Castlevania theme or a Mega Man inspired song.
I have no idea what that is.
It is Mega Man 02, the ending theme.
I thought it was lame as shit.
How dare you?
This sounds like 1980s inspirational music.
Actually, funny you bring that up, what it sounds like, because originally I had something else lined up for this week's books. And I was listening to my original selection, and I noticed, I'm like, wait, this song sounds exactly like another song that I didn't have planned. And let me play this other song that it reminded me of that I originally was gonna go for. They seem almost identical. That is Donkey Kong Country 2, Sticker Bush Symphony. And I'm like,
that's a very famous video game song.
I was listening to it because I've heard the Mega Man Zero Anything before. And as I was listening to that, because I was going to pick this one for this week's comics, and I was like, these songs sound very similar.
You know what my favorite Donkey Kong song is?
The rap.
No, the underwater.
Oh, yeah, we played that
the
before.
The first underwater level, yeah. I almost pick that every week, and then I remember we already did it.
it's a very good song. Let's see if I can very quickly pull it up before we go into this week's books.
You know what's amazing about that?
What?
That's the fucking Super Nintendo sound chip.
Yeah.
Like, that thing was fucking great.
It was a beast, all right.
Yeah, Sony made it. What's his fucking name? The guy who developed the PlayStation developed the Super NES sound chip.
Mm.
And then he fucking said, Ridge Racer, and they fired him.
For those of you who don't know, I've been talking to Alex and Dazza. And very rarely do they agree on stuff, but they both put over the Console Wars book. And I recently bought the audiobook version of it because I'm on an audiobook kick as of late. And I've gotten to the part where they do the swerve where Nintendo had been talking to Sony and they announced they're going to do the PlayStation. And they finally do the announcement and they announce that they're going with Philips.
Oh, yeah, but Sony had the awesome press conference at E3 when Sega came out and they announced the Saturn, and then they were like, and you can buy it right now, and it costs, you know, $399. And then they had the fucking Sony marketing guy come out, and he walks up to the stage, and he goes, $299, and then he walked off the stage.
Oops.
Fucking win. That's amazing.
All right, let's go into this week's books, which include Archie 18, Neil Gaiman American Gods Shadows 1, Justice League 17, Aquaman 19, Batman 19, Superman 19, Super Sons 2, Lucifer 16, Wildstorm 2, Eclipse 5, God Country 3, Injection 11, Kill or Be Killed 7, Amazing Spider-Man 25, Great Lakes Avengers 6, U.S. Avengers 4, Uncanny Avengers 21, Mighty Thor 17, Ms. Marvel 18, and Punisher 10. Alright, let's go into our first book from Archie Comics. We have Archie Issue 18, writer Mark Waid, art by Pete Woods.
Okay. So, Betty went on a date with but found out because he's a nerd. Nerds? He really likes science, so he knows a lot about cars.
Uh-huh. Oh, that was the best part. I read that, and I kept thinking, I'm like, oh, Mark knows who butters his bread. The idea that the nerd going out with the pretty blonde and them hitting it off.
Yeah, because of cars. And she agreed to go on a second date with him.
Mm.
So that was cool of her. Archie and, you know, Veronica's back in town, so Archie went out with her, and it looks like their relationship has cooled a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because Veronica has it's not a whole person anymore.
Get closer to your receiver, you're cutting out a little bit.
Oh, sorry. She's changed in that she's not a horrible person anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Which, for some reason, has apparently made her not like Archie as much. Maybe that was the indication.
Well, I always got the impression from the beginning the whole point of her dating Archie had seemed to be just to stick it to her father, and now that she sort of has the blessing, she's like, it's not fun anymore.
Well, they didn't outright say it.
But it was implied, but you know what, at the same time, they didn't imply that it was 100% shallow, but the idea that they spent all the time apart, and they sort of had the blessing, and you know, she had to do so much just to get back to Riverdale to be with Archie. It's like, okay, going forward, it's like, oh, and I there doesn't seem to be the spark there anymore.
Yeah, and now Cheryl, who came to town to ruin all this and couldn't, instead wants to find out why her dad's lying to them about the money. So she bribed Jughead and said if he tried to figure it out, I don't know why she thought Jughead would be good for this, she'd pay his tab at the diner for 2 months. And Jughead, who has no money but really needs hamburgers a lot, he agreed to do this. And his plan was he walked up to her front door and said, hey, talked to her dad, hey, why are you pretending to not have money?
And he gives him like a stern look and then closes the door
and
in his face.
Closes the door and he's like, all right, well, I tried, so you owe me now. I wouldn't help you, fucker. And then the issue kind of ended. This is a funny issue, Archie.
Yeah, there was the one part where I think Archie was being given a ride from somebody.
What do you haven't watched Riverdale, right?
No, I plan to do it because enough people have put it over.
So on Riverdale, the nerd, like, is his gimmick, like, he probably touches himself and, like, then like, he feels bad, so he cuts himself? Because the show is so much more serious.
It's needlessly serious and it's needlessly dark.
Yeah, so I'm thinking he probably cuts himself. Or, like, he goes outside Betty's window and, like, jerks off.
He takes nudes and then blackmails her?
In the shadows?
In the darkness?
Or he films her and then releases it online. And she gets in trouble with WWE.
Wow.
We didn't bring that up.
What's that?
We didn't bring up that, oh, by the way, let me give the Raw spoilers I was reading. They actually addressed it on Raw.
Ooh, did they now?
Yeah, because there were a couple We Want Paige chants. But they did a segment with the New Day, but they kept them backstage.
Mm.
And they were all standing there, and, like, Big E looks at Xavier, and he's like, you have anything you want to talk about? And then they just quickly went to, like, plugging WrestleMania.
That's awesome.
So that's how they chose to.
I may need to check this out now, because that sounds amazing, actually.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch it just for that. That's funny, though, that they had enough sense of mind to actually make a joke on it.
Yeah, because you think something like that they'd want to immediately run from.
Yeah, or keep him off TV, but they didn't. They put him on TV. They just put him in the back so the crowd would. Because you know they would have had a "you fucked Paige" chant.
Something to that equivalent, yeah.
Yeah. So it's probably, well, they still will, but it'll come later now. A lot of CM Punk chants tonight, too, according to what I read. Every time Stephanie comes on the screen, they chant for CM Punk.
Wow. I'm surprised
I don't know why. He didn't bury her. Buried her husband. Oh, well. What's the next book?
All right. From Archie, we move on to Dark Horse Comics with Neil Gaiman, American God Shadows, Issue 1. Writer, obviously, Neil Gaiman. And art by P. Craig Russell.
Okay, so here's the deal. I like this,
I
but
loved it.
It's the book. It's just a comic version of the book he wrote 15 years ago.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, because they're doing the TV show, and that's why they put this comic out. But I'm reading this comic, and I did really, really enjoy the book. I'm hyped about the show. But as I'm reading this, I'm like, wow, this is the book. It's the book with art. So, I can tell you this, you are going to enjoy this very much. It was a very well-told story.
I couldn't decide between this and the Archie book as far as my book of the week. Obviously, you know, I tend to lean towards comedy, but I think this is probably going to be my book of the week. We still had it because I really love this book.
The cool thing is I can tell you, you're going to continue to enjoy it.
Oh, okay.
Because I know how the story goes and I know this is just following along with the story. So you probably will enjoy this quite a bit. It's hard for me to talk about this because I know everything that's going to happen.
Yeah, you're probably going to accidentally release spoilers, but I'm not a person that's really super sensitive to that. So
I'll try really hard not to. So the basic story is there's a guy who goes by Shadow, and he's
Shadow Moon.
Yeah, and he's in prison.
Mm-hmm.
He's in prison for committing a robbery, and they don't tell you why he did the robbery. But he was, he didn't get messed with a lot in prison because he's kind of like a big, tough guy. And he, you know, he kept to himself. He just tried to stay busy when he was in prison. You know, he studied, he worked out, he did all the normal prison things. and he learned how to do coin tricks. He's getting out of prison. He really wants to go see his wife. His wife stayed with him while he was in prison. He was only in for 3 years. She stayed with him the whole time. He absolutely adores his wife. And the week he's going to get released, he's got 5 days left. And the warden calls him into his office and he's like, so, you're going to get out a couple days early because your wife died in a car accident?
Yeah, because at first it looks like they're going to do the gimmick where he's supposed to get on parole and then he doesn't. And that's where I thought it was going.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he actually tells him you're going to get out a couple days early so you can go to her funeral, yikes, which is, you know, terrible. And he's just destroyed because the whole thing was they even said he was talking to the guy you talk to before you get released. He's like, okay, so you got a wife who's going to help you out. You have a place to live. You have a job lined up. Everything is, it looks like it's actually going to work out for you.
Yeah, you're a model, you're a model prisoner. You seem pretty, remorseful of all the stuff you did. Everything seems legit. All right, we'll let you out early.
Yeah. So, but you know, your wife died. So he gets on the plane to go home and, his seat's taken for some reason. So like, it's okay. We got a spot up front and there's this guy, says his name, Mr. Wednesday, and he knows his name. He knows that his wife is dead and he offers him a job. And he's like, it's fucking creepy that you know all this, but I'm not going to take a job from you. I already got a job waiting for me and my wife just died. I don't want to talk about this. And he's like, oh yeah, whatever. So the plane lands and he has to, I don't know if he drives or what, but he's got like kind of a long drive to get home from where the airport was. So he stops at like random bar to get something to eat and he goes in the bathroom and Mr. Wednesday's there. Mm-hmm. He's like, so hey, you think about that job yet? And on the plane, he had like weird dreams about like a bull man saying kind of scary things to him, mm-hmm, telling him how important he is. And, you know, he just thought, oh, fuck, it's a dream, whatever. And he goes on, spoilers, it wasn't just a dream. But I'm not going to tell you anything else. No. It was a good first issue.
And then you missed the backup.
There was a backup?
Where one of the things they had was this woman, she was seducing some man, and she kept asking him to worship her. And he's like, whatever, because, you know, he's hot and heavy, he's in the moment, so he just does it. But then he notices, he's like, yeah, it feels like I'm being enveloped. But I'm like, it feels good, so I'm not going to complain.
Her vagina eats him. And then she takes a nappy nap. This will all be explained, just so you know.
I hope so. I mean, I can't imagine there's going to be a great explanation, but...
If you haven't read Sandman, if you've read Sandman, American Gods is the thing Gaiman wrote that deals with some of the same themes as Sandman did. Nah, I won't say themes. It has some of the same ideas that Sandman had and just develops them further. And I can't say anything else because it spoils, but it's well worth a read. The show will probably be good, and the comic's going to be good, and we're going to keep reading it because you liked it, and I liked it, and it was good.
Yeah, here's the thing. When you was like, Neil Gaiman, obviously, I'm a fan. I would say, you know, not a giant fan. Obviously, I haven't read Sandman yet, and I know that's going to drive a lot of people crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, the stuff I've read, I thought it's pretty good, but when I saw this, I'm just like, I don't know, and Alex is really putting it over, and we're notoriously of the idea of if you tend to like a book, I'll tend to hate a book. And that's what I was expecting with this book. I was like, especially when we got such, you know, a long expose of him in prison. I felt like there was at least a good 20 pages that focused on him just in jail. I'm like, oh God. I mean, this is well written, but at the same time, it's like, it's so long in the tooth. But, you know, it was all for a reason. It was all well written. And, I like the direction of the book going forward and I'm very excited to see where it goes.
It goes in some strange places.
You don't say. Neil Gaiman writes a book that goes in a couple of weird directions. Obviously, not to the degree of a Grant Morrison, but
no, Gaiman's never been a Morrison. He he does a better job of explaining his weird shit than Morrison. Like, Morrison's thing is like, oh, well, yeah, it could mean that, or you gotta get your own meaning from it. Except in a Scottish accent.
I wish you would do it in the Scottish accent.
Which I can't. I don't know how to do a Scottish accent. I don't know any, like, you know, my family's English, but they're English.
You sound like, the way I've learned from the past is, you change your audio levels, but then primarily you propose everything like a question.
Oh, the English thing? No, that's just my impression of my mom, and she's horribly offended by it. Alex, you have to come down here now. And the funny thing is, she doesn't talk like that at all. That's the same as my Paige impression.
Does your mom ever say, this is Morehouse?
My mom was like from the more moneyed part of London, and she speaks much more properly, but it's not fun to do that. It's much more fun to...
Oi, give it to me in the... Give it to me in the arse.
In the knickers.
Xavier.
Hey, speaking of Xavier, I have the audio pulled up. Let's see if we can listen to a bunch of that before we go move on to our next book.
So is there something you want to tell us about? WrestleMania.
That's all it was.
Xavier Woods is highly underrated.
As we've seen from his performance, or at least I saw anyway.
I didn't see it. I refuse to watch it. I will watch when it's Lana and handsome Rusev. They were all talking about that on the board too, and nobody called anyone gay. They're like, oh, well, it's Rusev, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's you know, he's so handsome. How can you resist?
What's his fucking farmer name?
God.
It's a good,
it's on the tip of my tongue. Name. But
for all the southern countries.
For those of you who aren't wrestling fans, we're referring to WWE released a I guess it would be a YouTube miniseries. It's called Regional Southpaw Wrestling. It's pretty much 80s pro wrestling. Everything about 80s pro wrestling, both the good and the bad.
Tex Ferguson.
Oh, they managed to clean up Sex Ferguson to make him Tex.
And he's still good.
That's the one thing, one reservation you had. You're like, I don't know, man. It's like, you know, I don't know if they're ever going to let Luke Gallows be Sex Ferguson because, you know, the name and then so much of the act is tied up in him.
Did you read the story behind this? He apparently, like, he's been doing Sex Ferguson in the locker room.
Ah.
And the guys all pop for it. And that's sort of what pushed along this thing as an idea because they all thought it was so funny.
I was the one proposing going forward that... They should just drop the whole club gimmick, and that should be his gimmick going forward.
Tex Ferguson and Chad Too Bad. But they're mortal enemies, and Chad Too Bad has a green jacket. I'm gonna fucking watch that thing.
That he can't afford?
Fandango was pretty good on it, too.
As the down and out announcer?
Yeah. love it. Next book.
Alright, that's gonna do it for Dark Horse. Let's move on to DC with Justice League issue 17, writer Brian Hitch, art by Fernando Passarin. Timeless part 3.
They again talked about, you know, they did the same storyline they did in Avengers. This super powerful creature explained that, these characters, basically the Justice League, and Earth in general, all the problems in the universe stem from Earth.
Yeah,
the problems in the multiverse stem from the Justice League.
I've read this and I kept thinking, so Hitch is doing Hickman's run on Avengers, but with Justice League. Because that's what this reads like.
A little bit, except on Hitch's run in Avengers, he had to create the problem. And in this, we already know of the problem.
Mm.
But the whole core of it's like it all revolves around you guys and this fucking planet. So basically his plan is we're going to take the planet and we're going to move it to the end of time so that it can't affect anything else. It'll be impossible to affect anything else.
He's all, we're going
to
move your entire solar system. Most of the people on your planet aren't even going to notice. But the fact of the matter is we want nothing to do with you guys. You guys are nothing but trouble. You guys keep messing with the universe. So if you're going to keep doing the thing you're going to do, and we don't want to obviously hurt you, we're just going to pick up your entire solar system and just move it out of the most of the known galaxy.
Yeah, and it won't hurt anything else.
Which then brings up the question, then why are they getting butthurt? Because obviously you have the idea of Superman's fighting back, and a lot of the Justice League members are fighting back.
Well, because what he said was most of the people, or they probably won't notice. Like, he didn't actually know. He knew, or he thought this would solve the core problem of Earth fucking everything up. But he didn't know that all the people of Earth would be unaffected by this. So, you know. He didn't know.
Oh, but he wasn't booked.
The Justice League was winning. They had all the little time bombs, and they were what he was doing was he was gathering magic, god powers,
mm-hmm.
the Speed Force, the I don't know the power of will, because the Green Lantern timeline was shooting in power. They were gathering all these different forms of great power, and then the Source Wall too, I think. They're gathering all these different forms of power and shooting them into him to power his machine that was going to let him move the Earth. But the Justice League, separately in this issue, they fucked up all of his plans. So.
Yeah.
It's looking good for the team. So, I don't remember what Cyborg was in the future, and
he's chit chatting with some little kid and
Brainiac.
Brainiac from Brainiac Legion. 5. Yeah, from Legion, right?
Yeah, he didn't have that name yet, but he gave him a flight bracelet, which wasn't big enough for his wrist. So he's like, oh, well, just put it around like your three fingers, and they pointed out maybe I should redesign this thing. So they explained, originally, he didn't make flight rings. He made this stupid flight bracelet that wouldn't actually fit around a man's wrist. So, problem. But that was just kind of a cute little side note. But still, yeah, it was good. It was like all these little mini stories and then this one meta story that took over. We got to see all the different members of the Justice League being heroic. I didn't understand why Jobber male Green Lantern had a gun.
Yeah,
do you know anything about this? He was holding like a he had like a fucking Glock in his hand, and it wasn't green. he just had a legit gun, and I'm like, did they explain this in another issue? Because the girl doesn't have one.
I don't understand. If you're a Green Lantern, why would you need a gun?
Yeah, because you could make a gun. But yeah, he just had a fucking handgun. He's just holding it. I don't know, maybe he wanted to get down. Maybe some essays were causing him trouble.
He's going to do a drive-by?
Yeah, he's going to do a drive-by on his bike.
Blah, 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 on his space bike.
On his space bike.
He's smart enough to know how to do a construct of a road and a bike, but it doesn't occur to him. He can make a construct of a gun, too.
No, he didn't think of that. He's not a good Green Lantern.
Yeah, here's the thing: we rip on Cyborg and we make fun of him. We have our fun with him, but we're not fans of the two new Green Lanterns as well, right?
No, I like Guy Gardner more than I like
these two Green Lanterns. Ouch!
The one time I liked the female Green Lantern was when for an issue she was like dating the Flash,
mm-hmm.
but then I was like, you know what, Flash should be with Iris anyway. So I'm not cool with this. Yeah, it was fine. I mean, Hitch writes good Justice League stories. They're always somewhat epic.
Yeah,
and that's what they should be.
And it feels I mentioned earlier, it feels like Hickman in the sense that there's a bunch of moving parts. We still haven't resolved all the stuff with the crystals that are singing for some reason. So I get the feeling it's a giant overarching story he's telling that has a bunch of moving parts.
I think he wants us to think that. I don't know if he knows where it's going yet.
But he hasn't dropped it, and he keeps alluding to it. So it's obviously something that he's wanting.
It's Darkseid, dude.
When in doubt, it's Darkseid?
It's always Darkseid.
Well, as long as we're talking about multi-dimensional characters, let's talk this week's Superman issue 19, writer Peter J. Tomasi, art by Patrick Gleason. Superman Reborn Part 3.
Oh my god, I didn't read this.
You're kidding.
I know, and this is the one I really wanted to read. I know what vaguely happened. Like, they revealed that it's the Superman Red and Blue.
What do you mean as far as that's concerned? They show the costume of Superman Prime. They don't out and out say that Mr. Oz is Superboy Prime.
Yeah. Okay, so we could talk about this now, even though I didn't read it. Mm. And I'm going to find it now so I can read it.
Mm-hmm.
So Newsarama, I think, put this big write-up where they had the theory that Mr. Oz, everybody thinks is Ozymandias, but it could actually be Superboy Prime. And then they did a huge write-up explaining all the ways that it makes sense that this is Superboy Prime. And I read it, and I said, fuck, that makes a shit ton of sense.
Yeah, but we still don't have confirmation. And see, yeah, they're following up on stuff that we've been given, and it is a theory, but they didn't come out and say it. They just showed the costume at the very end. So I'm not of the 100% of the opinion that's the direction going forward.
And even then, like, they might use Superboy Prime, and he might not be Mr. Oz.
Yeah, because I saw that news story as well, then I read the story, and I'm like, yeah, they don't really... I mean, they tease it, obviously, because of the costume, but I never got the implication that that's what it was 100%. And the thing is, it seems a little early to pull the trigger on that, and we've seen from... Newsarama isn't as bad as like Bleeding Cool, where they openly speculate and they have no real basis of it.
They did flat out state. They're like, okay, listen, we have no proof. This is what it is. Like, we don't have insider information. This is just a theory, and we're going to give the theory and explain how it could work. This doesn't mean anyone else's guess is wrong. It's just, you know.
Actually, you know what? I screwed up here. That was what we're talking about had happened at the end of Justice League. Actually, let's see. Maybe I got this wrong now. Let's see. What issue was this? Superman? No, Superman 19. No, all the stuff that we're talking about right now had happened at the end of Justice League. Because I'm flipping through Superman because, like you, I'm having trouble remembering what happened. I did read it. Nothing of that happened in this issue. We just talked Justice League, so it seems fitting that we discuss this part right now.
Okay.
Because all that happened in the Superman issue this week was Superboy had been confronting Mr. Let's see if I can pronounce it properly. Mr. Pixel?
Mixel Pitalik.
He was fighting Mr. I'm not even going to try. Mr.
It's okay.
He was fighting him, and then obviously you had a bunch of stuff with Clark, but the majority of the book focused on Jonathan dealing with Mr. P. And the idea of finally Superman was able to rescue him, and they got out of his dimension, they got out of his little game, and that's pretty much where it ended up. It was a very quick run. It was a very quick read. Not a whole lot happened. Just basically they defeated, and Superman was able to rescue his family as well as Jonathan, so.
Yay.
But, yeah, all the stuff that we just talked was all the stuff from Justice League, because I was flipping through, and I'm like, I forget what book that happened in. I'm like, it's either Superman or Justice League, but I presumed it was Superman, considering it was Superboy Prime.
And I also think, with everybody saying, oh, it's Superboy Prime, I think it's all a swerve.
Yeah, because it can't be that so early. Like, you can't be, you know, supposedly it's a 2-year storyline. Obviously, we're steadily approaching our first year, the halfway point, but I can't imagine them pulling the trigger, and it's Superboy Prime.
Mr. Oz, he's primarily a Superman thing, but that's because Superman is central to all this. He also appeared in Rebirth, which means, you know, and he's the one who captured Tim Drake. So I just think to give a reveal of who he is in a random Superman thing seems weird. It could be though. Like, it totally could be. And it doesn't mean it. As far as I remember, Superboy Prime, he got dumped on the source wall.
Yeah, he's dead as far as I'm concerned. So it makes sense that they have the costume, they have the suit, but it wouldn't make a whole bunch of sense if that's who it was. Then that got me.
Well, if you read that Newsarama thing, it did make a lot of sense.
But the thing is maybe all the Dr. Manhattan stuff, is that also a red herring as well? Is it something that that DC fans aren't necessarily thinking of, and they're being distracted by what seems
Superboy,
to be a one-to-one.
Superboy, this might be Superboy Prime. Mr. Oz might be Superboy Prime. Doc Manhattan is still behind all this. Okay, remember the Titans storyline.
Mm-hmm.
When Kadabra said Manhattan. He is involved.
Yeah, but it's also he may not necessarily be the big bad behind all this. It could be something else that we're not thinking
of. Yeah, he
could
be working for him in some fashion.
It's gonna be pre-Flash
Prime does not have the power to reorganize reality.
Mm.
Also, Superboy Prime was never shown to be as calculating, as deliberate as Mr. Oz is.
Mm.
Superboy Prime was kind of a whiny bitch. That's why everyone hated him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he screamed and yelled all the time, and he acted like a child. So I don't see him being the one who wears a hood and is able to stay hidden and work in the shadows for all this time.
But maybe, like, Mr. P, he's matured, or at least that's what Superman thought.
Well, maybe, but also they've shown the character. He's not big enough.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a big guy.
I would love it if it's just the biggest anticlimactic reveal, and it's just pre-Flashpoint Darkseid.
If it was pre-Flashpoint Luther, I still think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
If they finally do the reveal and Scott Snyder writes it, it's going to turn out it's Joker.
we still got a follow-up from the thing we got from the start of all Jokers. The three Jokers, yeah.
Oh, we'll get it.
We're just not sure we're going to like it, right?
Yeah, we'll get it, brother. It's all coming.
Oh, okay. To break up the reviews for just a little bit, you mentioned earlier about what was Rusev's gimmick in Southpaw Regional Wrestling? Big Bartholomew.
And that fucking dirty banker stole his farm. And he's going to have to wrestle the sea creature.
That was great because they showed the banker, the evil banker. And he's cutting a promo Tyler on Bartholomew. Yeah, he's cutting a promo on Bartholomew, and he's got a chain in his hand. They lead you to believe it's a chain match. He's like, "Oh, you didn't think we were going to do a chain match, were you?" And then they cut the camera back, and the chain is attached to, of all things, a sea monster,
which is a takeoff on Kevin Sullivan and Purple Haze, also Batista. The Leviathan.
Oh God, I vaguely remember that. Yeah, you're right.
Coming out of the swamp, which Cornette stole from Kevin Sullivan, because in Southern wrestling, you have guys fucking rise out of the water. I don't know why.
Well, that transitions perfectly into our next book, Aquaman issue 19, writer Dan Abnett, art by Felipe Barones.
Aquaman and the Aquamarines.
Wow.
Are going to deal with something from a previous run of Aquaman. The Dead Water, which was, okay. The hints in this were, okay. So what happened was they had a base set up near this Dead Water in like the Gulf of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And, it had all gone silent. So they went there to find out what was going on. And Aquaman agreed to go with the Aquamarines. All of them. Orca and Great White and all their other ridiculous names. Meryl wasn't cool with this because, you know, they killed a bunch of Aquaman's advisors and tried to murder him. But they were at war at the time. So now they're not. So it's all right. So they go to investigate this. And in the lab that they built, they found a bunch of weird sea creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the scientists pointed out, like, oh, those things haven't existed for like 5 million years. Which doesn't necessarily mean anything, but it's obviously weird that they found all these prehistoric sea creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Aquaman pointed out that when he swam through this shit, he couldn't breathe in it. It was different, which would support the prehistoric shit because presumably that long ago the water would have had a different makeup than the water today. So while Aquaman can breathe in our water, he may not have been able to breathe in prehistoric water.
So preposterous.
But scientifically, it might make sense. I don't know that much about the chemical composition of water 60 billion years ago or whatever. Like, I don't know.
I think the formula hasn't changed.
It has changed, though, because the atmosphere changed.
Mm.
So, you know.
Well, you know what? You know how
this
you
would have been this. These would have been pre-land dwelling creatures.
Mm.
So there wasn't as much oxygen on the surface. Therefore, the water might have been different, too.
Ah.
I don't know. I know there was a time on Earth where there was life and there was not life on land. So maybe the water was different then. I don't know. I'm fucking discussing water here, for Christ's sakes. But it was interesting in the book.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
You know, it's funny how you mentioned how you missed reading this week's Superman. I don't think I read this week's Aquaman. Because I'm like, you're describing what's going on. I'm reading the solicitation. I'm like, wait, I don't remember any of this. Did I forget to read Aquaman?
It happened. But yeah, they have to figure out what's going on.
Ah, okay. A book I'm sure we both read this week, Batman issue 19, writer Tom King, art by David Finch. This read really quick, I Am Bane Part 4.
So the core of this book was Bane is in Arkham, and he's beating the shit out of every Batman villain.
My favorite is I think they start with Two-Face, and Two-Face is like, I'm of two minds. And I'm like, Two-Face has got jokes, everybody.
Yeah. Well, the funniest part was he's like, well, because what happened was Batman let out all the people in Arkham.
Mm-hmm.
He let them out of their cells so they could slow Bane down. And when he goes to Two-Face is like, well, on the one hand, Batman said, you know, if I help him, I'll get nicer accommodations, basically. He's like, but on the other hand, I hate Batman. I want to strangle him to death. So I guess my question is, what'll you give me? And Bane fucking punches him and he's like, pain.
Oh God.
And then he went through the thing. He beat up, he didn't beat up Maxi Zeus. He beat up Two-Face. He beat up Scarecrow, who sprayed him with the fear toxin, which he had some of. For his escape, but he ended up spraying it into Bane's face.
Yeah, he had that much built up where he was like, I was originally going to put this on the entire prison, but you know, considering Batman talked to me and let me out, he's like, I'm gonna use my entire concentration on Bane, and it phases Bane for a second, like literally, I think for like maybe 5 seconds.
Yeah, but then he was fine. He's like, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm Bane. And he beat up Solomon Grundy.
Mm-hmm.
By the time he finally got to Batman, and Alfred's there, and he's trying to tell Batman, like, seriously, you can't fight this guy. You're all beat up. Batman's like, he beat up all my friends. He beat up my fucking son and hung him from the roof of the Batcave.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm gonna stop this motherfucker.
Being Grundy did bother me a little bit, because it's like, okay, I understand Bane
In defense, before he fought Grundy, he hit the little thing that shoots the venom into him.
Mm.
So he did have to power up even more to beat Grundy. So they did explain that. And Grundy is beatable, like Batman has beat him. So Bane is already super strong, and then he made himself even stronger. So, presumably, he would be able to beat him.
My favorite was Calendar Man. He confronts him, and then he's like, oh, you better not fight Batman, and then he just takes a bump.
Yeah, he did a lot of the guys. Like, they gave everyone a moment, but it was to get Bane over.
He was like,
and then the last page is, you know, both characters. It was Batman and Bane getting ready to fight, and then, like, the next issue is, like, you know, it ends or something. Like, they're actually going to fight.
Mm.
And this isn't, you know, the Bane from the prison. This is fully venomed up, insanely angry Bane getting ready to fight Batman.
So it's got to be Gotham Girl who finally takes care of him, right?
I would like it to be Batman, but yeah, I mean, story-wise, since what happened to Gotham Girl is the direct result of Bane, it would make sense for her to be the one to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Cause, you know, Batman saved her, so she saves Batman. Although Bane did point out when he sent Hugo Strange to Gotham to get the Psycho Pirate, he didn't tell him to kill a bunch of people and make monsters. He just sent him there to get Psycho Pirate.
He's all, I should have known Hugo Strange was going to do something, but you know, I want to believe he wouldn't have done that, but I'm not surprised.
I feel bad for Bane.
Because he wanted to go clean?
Yeah, he had the bad childhood and he wanted to go clean, but the problem with Venom is, like, when you get off Venom, you're in, like, excruciating pain. Like, that's why he's been on it so long. He can't get off it.
And that's the reason why he kidnapped Psycho Pirate, because he wanted to wean himself off it, and he saw the only way I could deal with the pain is if I have Psycho Pirate, you know, basically negating the facts of the effects of the pain from the Venom withdrawal.
Yeah, and Batman had to fucking ruin it because he was mad that Bane broke his back.
Well, to be fair, it was because of Bane, all the stuff that happened to Gotham Girl and Gotham. Like we mentioned earlier, not directly.
Like he said, he didn't tell him to do that.
But he
just told him to capture Psycho Pirate.
But he needed Psycho Pirate too. And then the thing is, the way he got Psycho Pirate wasn't exactly 100% legal either.
Well, no.
I
feel bad for the situation he's in.
Hmm.
That's all.
It's sympathetic. I don't think that I can justify it, but you can certainly see where he's coming from. I think that's what you're trying to get across.
Yes.
Okay. Super Sons, issue 2, writer Peter J. Tomasi, art by George Jimenez.
Okay, so at the end of the last issue, Luther caught them trying to break into the place. They were trying to steal, like, security information from Luther's headquarters, his Luther Towers or whatever the fuck it's called. So he caught them. He doesn't know who they are. He doesn't know Superboy. I think they actually called him. He doesn't know Jonathan. So, Jonathan ends up falling and Luther has to save him because Damian said, like, hey, by the way, he can't fly. So Luther has to go save him. Damian just used this distraction so he could break in and get into Luther's lab. And he's like, you know, fucking around in there. And Jonathan he's desperately trying to escape from Luther and he kind of kicks him and then runs away and gets back to Damian. And, they discover, was this when they found the dead bodies or was that later?
That was later. Cause the thing is, while Jonathan was talking to Lex, Robin was investigating Luther's lab, not finding a whole lot. It was pretty much a dead end. But then he eventually is like, you know, he was talking chit-chatting with Jonathan. He's like, yeah, and your friend is, he just broke into my lab and he set a bunch of, explosive devices. So we have to very quickly take care of that.
That was actually really funny. So, Luther comes up behind him and it looks like Damian's setting a bomb. And he zaps it and he's like, you really thought that was going to work? And he's like, he's like, nope, but, I don't know if you have time to disarm these other 11 bombs I set. And then Luther's like, oh, god damn it. And Damian runs out, goes and meets up with Jonathan. Jonathan's like, oh, great. He saw us and we did all that for nothing. And he's like, ah, no, we didn't. And he holds up, like, I don't know, his tablet or something.
Yeah, and he was downloading, like, all the information. And the thing is,
he got everything he wanted.
And they weren't even bombs. They established that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. He faked them out. So, this leads them to they're looking for this kid. And this kid at the beginning of the comic murdered his family.
Yeah.
Apparently is what happened. And they said this is a result of, a storyline that happened in the Superman run we weren't reading.
No, it happened in the John's run of Justice League, the Amazovirus.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. They said everybody was cured of it, but they weren't. 5% kept their powers, and this kid and his family kept their powers. But the kid is apparently hugely evil and murdered his entire family. So they're looking for the kid. They end up at the house because the kid was on the security footage. And, Damian, you know, figures out where he lives. and they go to the house and they find the dead family. So Jonathan's freaking out because, you know, he's not Damien, who was trained as an assassin, is obviously not that bothered by this. Jonathan, who is a kid who grew up on a farm, is very bothered by the four dead people. So Jonathan runs away and he finds, the daughter who had escaped from the house. Her brother didn't kill her and she was hiding in the woods. So he finds her, but then we see a scary looking Superman appear behind him, and Damien was out looking for Jonathan, and we see a scary looking Batman behind him. And the tease is Batman and Superman found out where they were and came after him. I don't think that's what's actually going on. I think it's the kid doing something. Cause it doesn't make any sense why Batman and Superman would look all creepy. Like, story wise, that doesn't make sense.
Well, I can see them being mad that they snuck off and went on this adventure without their parents, considering.
Yeah, but it's like, so why is Superman flying up behind Jonathan with the fucking heat vision going?
Well, he could just be mad.
Well, he's not that.
And that's the thing they
probably be more worried.
That's the thing they kept emphasizing. I think Robin did anyway. He was like, "Look, I've been trained on this kind of stuff. I'm used to seeing dead bodies. I don't know if you should go on. I don't know if you should be part of this plan. I was fine with you with the first part, you know, breaking into Luther's place, but this part I'm not 100% cool with you being on board." But he had, obviously he decided to go along with Damien. And
well, Jonathan accused him of being used as nothing more than a distraction, which he kind of was.
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. Imagine there's some kid hanging out with Jack that you're not a big fan of, and they go off and do this, I don't know, they go into this abandoned house. Like, wouldn't you be mad at the kid that had talked Jack into doing this?
You there?
Yeah.
Sorry, I lost you for a second.
That's okay. No, I said basically imagine had...
Yeah, if Jack went up. Well, Jack's six, so...
Yeah, but I'm saying some other kid around the same age convinced Jack to go off to this abandoned house. And you're wondering where Jack is in the middle of the night. And you find
did I ever tell you the story about when I was six and some older kids beat the shit out of me?
I think I do, but I don't know if you told everybody else.
All right, let me tell the story on the show. This is the only time in my life I ever got my ass kicked. I was like 6 years old, and there were woods across the street from my house, and there was also like a big, I think it was like a drainage tunnel or something. I don't remember what it was, but it was big enough you could walk in. And there were some kids who were probably like 9, 10 there. And I was playing around, you know, and I'm a kid, so I want to play with other kids. So I was trying to play with them, and they're like, "Oh, why don't you go deeper in there?" And I did, and they fucking pushed me down, and my head hit a rock. And then they started putting the boots to me. These kids were obviously sociopaths. I did nothing to them. So then they were laughing, and they rode off on their bike. I was a fucking 6-year-old. I couldn't do anything. So what happened was I went in and told my brother, who was there with his friends, and they found the kids, and they beat the shit out of them. So, you know, not really good, because my brother was probably like 15, 16. But he was defending his little brother. And those kids learned a lesson. I bet they never beat the shit out of some random kid again.
Well, see what I'm saying? Your brother was mad. Now imagine, you know, you're the dad and that situation like that happened.
I'd probably be mad at Jack if he went to another city to break into.
Yeah, but wouldn't you be also, you'd be kind of mad at Jack, but you'd be furious at the other kid because he's not your kid.
Yeah, but I wouldn't point a gun at him.
No,
which
but
is effectively what Superman was doing.
I think I think they just imply that he's really mad, and that's what happens.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Or we'll find out.
We'll see in issue 3, yeah.
I don't think it's Superman and Batman.
Okay. I don't see how it could be anybody else, though, considering there's just the one kid.
The kid.
With the Amazo virus.
Well, the kid can make copies of himself. Maybe he can change.
Oh, you're right. I didn't even consider that. I forgot. The opening moments of this issue showed some kid, and he was able to multiply himself into three.
Yeah, maybe he could fucking turn himself into a different shape too.
Well, there you go.
I don't know.
All right, that's going to do it for the mainline DC portion of the show. We're not going to go too far with Lucifer issue 16, writer Richard Caney, art by Lee Garbett.
I didn't know what the fuck happened in this book.
You're kidding. I've been told everybody, but I every week I read Lucifer and I have kind of an idea what's going on, but I normally let Alex do the review because I'm like, I don't have the nerve to say, I don't know what's going on in Lucifer. I mean, I knew from like a good while, but the last couple of issues, I'm like, there's so many characters and they're like characters from the original run. And I'm like, I'm not 100% sure what's going on here.
Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm 90% sure I missed the last issue of this. Because this issue opens up and there's a talking baby. I knew the little girl and her brother and the moms. Like, I knew them. I know who Gabriel is. I know who Lucifer is. And I know he's still working. And I remember the chick who you thought was like female John Constantine.
Yeah.
Who. Apparently everyone else thought that because they changed, so she now has a green trench coat to differentiate, and she's got the little box that
it's
gives
funny
people
and you dismissed it
want.
And you were like, oh, I don't know how you came to that conclusion.
Well, yeah, now I'm convinced that everyone else came to that conclusion. It was unintentional. I just didn't know the character. I still don't know the character, but I know they changed her fucking jacket, so that's fine. And she's still going around trying to collect the information for Lucifer, because she showed somebody else what's in the box, and of course they wanted it.
I love that thing. It's just whatever they want it to be.
Yeah, it is a great gimmick.
Because she's trying to convince them to do something, and obviously she has the box, and they're like, "Oh, what's in the box?" He's like, "Well, you tell me."
She wanted an urn full of angel ashes.
Mm-hmm.
Which the guy was snorting.
And the gimmick of this book is, you know, there's being high and then there's being angel high.
Mm-hmm. So he didn't want to give it up because he wanted to keep getting angel high. But she got it from him. So that's good. Angel's heart. That's what she was looking for. She's trying to get an angel's heart because Lucifer needs it for reasons. The other part of the story I understood was the ghost girl, Lucifer's kid's girlfriend who died and is a ghost now. We had thought she showed up to Izanami's place with the two demons who are working for her to kill Lucifer because she's mad at him. The ghost is like, hey, I'll do anything for you. I want to get back at him. I hate Lucifer too. And we're debating, like, is she really working against Mazikeen or is this a trick?
Yeah.
I'm still under the belief it's a trick because everything is pointing towards her actually turning on her, so much so that it's way too obvious and the swerve has to be coming. Mm. But Izanami gave her a pin, like a sewing pin. And said, oh, poke her in the back of the neck with this. And I guess it'll kill her. And near the end of this, they showed her, like, Mazikeen was in front of her, and she had the pin in her hand. So it looks like she's going to get ready to poke her, but I don't think she's going to do it. And Lucifer has the sword that was used by the angel who guarded the Garden of Eden. And he used it to murder the crud out of some people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my son's up.
Does he feel like sneaking out and investigating a multi-million dollar company?
He's been kind of sick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's got this horrible cough. It's bad news. Okay, yeah, but that was Lucifer. Things are still moving along in the same story. We have a different writer on this book. I don't know if you noticed that, and I don't know when the switch happened.
I believe it was this issue because I let's see, I'll look at issue.
Weird because the middle of the storyline.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's a big overarching storyline. And you can tell there's a bit of a change in the direction.
Not really. The storyline's still continuing the same way.
Yeah, but
I just wonder how long it's been this way, and I didn't notice.
It's the last issue was written by the same writer. I'm trying to figure out when the switch happened because. This did read differently, but as I can kind of tell, it may just be me. Issue 14 is written by the same writer. I'm trying to figure.
So it must have been since this evil god storyline started.
Yeah, because I'm going back as far as 13. And I think it's 13 that happened, the holiday special, because it's co-written by the current writer, and it was also co-written by Holly Black, which I believe
she was the original writer.
The original, at least as far as the recent numbering of it. Yeah, yeah. You need to go back as far as issue 12 where you had Holly Black on the book.
Okay. Well, he's been doing it for a while, though. That's fine. But yeah, the storyline has moved forward. We didn't get Evil God in this issue at all.
No.
But it's okay.
Yeah, as we've seen, there's several moving parts in this book, part of the reason why I'm confused in the title sometimes. But yeah, you're right. We didn't get that. All right, in our final DC book from DC Comics, obviously, Wildstorm Issue 2, writer Warren Ellis, art by John Davis Hunt.
Everybody's looking for the engineer,
mm-hmm.
who ended up on a old secret IO base on some island in the middle of nowhere, and everybody knows she's there. And one of the groups said they got to send a cat team. Because they can't call them the Wildcats anymore for some reason. They are just a covert action team.
That may have been a creative decision on Alice's behalf.
And it was Grifter and Voodoo, but they weren't wearing the costumes. Despite Grifter wearing the mask on the cover, because Grifter has like the coolest mask.
It is pretty great.
And yeah, and they just didn't have him. I assume he will put it on. But he was hanging out, and he's being sent out to find her, and everyone else is looking for her. We did get confirmation that characters can exist in both universes, though, because Bendix was in this issue, and Bendix was in, well, he died, but he was recently in a comic. He was in the Midnighter and Apollo book in the normal DC universe, but he was also here, and he is still a dick, and he has the same job he had in the old Wildstorm. He's the head of Skywatch. We found out that Zealot apparently works for him, although she doesn't know him because he's always out on Skywatch in outer space,
mm-hmm.
and she works on the ground team. No other...
Yeah, a majority of this book focused on everyone speculating, like, you know, the engineer had obviously worked in that firm for quite a while, and they're like, how did she get a hold of this? And we never seen anything like this before. And we need to find her. And they kept referring to the assassination, but not a whole lot happened in this issue.
Well, stuff happened. It continued to develop the world and introduce more characters. They're not new characters. In fact, one of the characters, he's actually, the blonde girl. Who was new? She was an old character. She was they called Christine Trelane. She was Synergy, and her power was she could activate. I don't remember what they called their superhero people, but she could activate them.
Mm-hmm.
So she was an existing character. The other guy, the black dude who was talking, I don't think he was Battalion, but he's somebody. I'm not sure who.
Yeah, I'm going to this cult. You know, you're making all these references.
Yeah, I know. So I'm just saying they're reintroducing old Wildstorm characters in this book.
I hope that's not what this book is, where it's so heavily reliant.
Well, no, because they have to, because this is the book that introduces this is the book that's introducing all the characters who are going to be in other books. This is the book that introduces the world. This is not going to be a book that has a storyline that is resolved. This is a book that's introducing a universe.
I mean, basically, I don't want this book and this line of this line of comic books to be 100% dependent on you reading all the Wildstorm stuff.
That's the thing, dude. You don't have to read the old thing because the characters are different. It's just I am pointing out which characters will be important because I know they were existing characters.
Okay. Well, you say that now, but then even in books like Lucifer, which obviously you're dealing with a blank slate, you're bringing back old characters and you're expecting new readers to know who.
That's well, Lucifer is completely different because it's not a blank slate. They are building off of old storylines.
Yeah.
That's very different from this, whereas this is 100% new storylines. You don't have to know anything about the old stuff. It's just as I do know about the old stuff, I don't know who these characters are, but I know who these characters were. I will tell you that Grifter is pretty much identical. He didn't wear the mask, but the character and what they showed of him was the same character.
Okay. What was I going to say on that from? Yeah, it's sort of going back to Lucifer. I think it's going to be a scenario like Walking Dead where, you know, I just gut it out and eventually I pick it up because I just think that's going to happen. I'm tempted to just say, listen, just not review Lucifer, or you could do a solo, but I'm like, Walking Dead, I didn't know what was going on for a long time, but eventually I picked it up, so.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of, talking about it this way, Walking Dead, let's talk the Image portion of the show with Eclipse Issue 5, writer Zach Kaplan, art by Giovanni Tapano.
I'm going to go through this really quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
The mayor's daughter or whatever broke into the police station because she decided that this guy tried to kill her and now she doesn't feel safe. She wants to learn everything there is to learn about him, even though that guy is dead. Our main guy, the guy who wears the suit, he went out on an adventure on the surface. They were attacked by some dudes who apparently live in another hidden town. But one of the guys had him, like, look through the binoculars, and when he looked through them, he's like, what do you see? He's like, oh, well, I see, like, military, because they said they were ex-military. So, of course, in any post-apocalyptic world, the ex-military are evil. He's like, what do you see? He's like, well, I see tanks and fortifications and barriers, and he's like, no, look closer. And then he notices there is a dude who appears to be chained up to a post.
In the middle of the sun, not dead.
In the middle of the sun, and he looks vaguely silver, so there is another one of these guys. And these people have captured one. That was the cliffhanger for the next issue. I also read something interesting in the back of this, because I always read the backup. This was a mini-series that did well enough that it is now a continuing series.
That's just what I was about to bring up, because the last issue sort of ended the story that he was telling. And I presumed that was the end. He was going to go off to write other books. When I saw this pop up again, I was like, oh, okay. Did I read that wrong? Because very rarely do I read the Lair's page, but I did read the Lair's page of the last issue. And you're right. It was basically just a miniseries that was supposed to end. But apparently now going forward, it's now a series, a full-fledged series.
Yeah, I hope he had ideas for this beyond the first series.
Well, if there's another person that could survive in the sunlight, he clearly has a direction going forward.
Yeah. So, that's what we're left with. The fact, because their whole thing was like, we got to capture one of these things alive, and then maybe we can figure out how they're living, and then maybe we can live in the sun again. Because they also they started mentioning stuff in this. Like they said, one of the guys underground, he's like, yeah, so the East River is still there. So this isn't just the sun getting hotter, because the water would have been gone. It's got to be something else. But these guys weren't scientists. They were just guys talking. Mm. So we don't know if he was actually telling the truth or if there's something to what he said or if he was just bullshitting. We don't know.
No, we do not. Curious to see where it's going. Really good series. I'm glad going forward that we're going to get the series and it just didn't end with a miniseries. Great writer. He's a guy that probably could write other books, but I'm glad that he's going to continue writing this Eclipse series because it's got a really interesting premise. And yeah. I would hate for it to just be one and done.
Yeah, that would suck.
Let's move on to our next book, God Country Issue 3, writer Donnie Gates, art by Jeffrey Shaw.
Oh, this is the other book I forgot to read.
Oh, you're kidding.
And I like this book.
I will say this. You didn't miss a whole lot of action. Basically, what happened this issue was the son had talked to the father basically saying, you know, I was kind of miserable with the situation, what's going on, but I still had to stand by you because you're my dad. But really, I kind of wish something would have happened, something like this would have happened. And they allude to the fact that maybe the reason why the grandfather got the sword was because the son wished for it. There was a lot of, I don't know if the sword I talked up to this point, but we had a lot of back and forth between the grandfather and the sword. The sword actively talked in this issue. That was primarily the issue. There were, you know, there, it's a little disconcerting still, especially when you look at the son and the, his wife, and they're a little off put by the sword, but the grandfather seems to be cool with the sword. Obviously the granddaughter's cool with the sword. And in this issue, they confronted by a god, cause at the end of the last issue, he pretty much said, when, one of the gods had confronted him, it's like, hey, give back the sword. And pretty much the grandfather said, nope, come and get it. So in this, we had a confrontation at the very end of the book where all the knives in the house that had made their way to the family, none of them actually hurt the family, but obviously you get the impression that the gods are not playing around and they want the sword back.
Okay.
And, that was God Country issue 3. Really great series. I obviously the direction is going to be him fighting the gods. So
yes,
that's interesting enough. But after that, I don't know where they go. But maybe that's enough.
That, I mean, they just hold it off for a long time, I would guess.
Yeah,
he fights them like one at a time.
Well, the thing is, eventually you'd want to move on, especially if this is going to be a series. You want to move on to a new story arc.
Well, yeah, but that's like a meta story arc. You know, it's like Batman's quest is to rid Gotham City of crime. It's not like every time he fights Joker, we're looking for him to end crime.
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of the Mighty Thor storyline. He has this mythical weapon that he's not supposed to have, but the weapon chose him, and all the gods want to take it away from him because, in their opinion, he's not supposed to have it. Mm. Speaking of new story arcs, let's talk Injection issue 11, writer Warren Ellis, art by Declan Shelby.
Hedlund was mentioned in this book several times, but he did not appear.
He was not offended by people's ham.
No. Ellis obviously realized this character was incredibly popular, but it is not the focus of his book. So he had to come up with a... He had another character he wanted to use, so he mentioned Hedlund, so we know he's around, but he's far too busy to deal with this. And what happened was they found there was like an earthquake on some island in the UK somewhere, and it had surprisingly unearthed a Stonehenge, like a stone circle, but there was a skeleton chain to it. So something weird happened. So this character had to go investigate. So she uses her teleportation device, which they pointed out, like, are you sure you should use that? Like, maybe Hedlund will find out about it. And he's like, no, I'm really careful with this. So she teleports in, meets with the local team of her group. And they're all the characters we knew, like the wizard guy and Hedlund and the tough black dude who kills everyone and this chick and the weird magic chick, they're apparently all like independent contractors.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time skip in this. One of them said one of them's actually working for the English government now. But, you know, they're all like independent contractors because she was getting paid, and her gimmick is she's like a informationalist, I think she said. She's like a tech genius. She's got when she wants to do something, she punches it in to her little, it's called Workbot, which then does apparently all the things she needs done for her after she reports it. But,
it's funny, when she starts up her interface, it's very much like Google Glass in the sense that she's still interacting with the world, but she puts on contacts so she has a certain kind of a filter.
Yeah.
I liked one of her notifications. Did you read those, or were you such in a hurry that you didn't bother reading all the notifications?
Oh, no, there was funny stuff in them.
My favorite was Winston. My GF renamed her clip Patrick Stewart, and she makes me talk to it and pat on its baldy head. Please help.
Yeah, no, there were funny jokes thrown in. And she was kind of a quirky character, as they all are also. But she's talking to the guys, and they're like, so what are you going to do here? And they're like, oh, we're going to build like a satellite dish. And she's like, really? That's it? She's like, well, did you notice that there's a giant pit under this thing, like an open area? He's like, oh, yeah, we just figured it was like a landfill or something.
Well, she's all digging up.
She's like, you didn't notice the fucking metal in it? And he's like, what? And she's like, yeah, it's a lid. She's like, dig the fucking hole. Dig it up now. And apparently she has the power to do this. So the issue ended with them preparing to dig under this weird Stonehenge thing and find out what the lid is being kept on. But there was like weird energy in the air, which kept cell phones and stuff from working. So apparently what's causing that is coming from the underground area, which her group has interest in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're going to be dealing with in this current storyline.
Good enough. Kill or Be Killed, issue 7, writer Ed Brubaker, art by Sean Phillips.
I don't want to read this book anymore.
Really? I still like it.
I don't care. Okay, first of all, this book starts out, and it took me forever to figure out who this fucking character was talking to her shrink about her goddamn problems with her mom and her dead dad. And it was Kira. It was the girl the main character was all into until he started killing people and then decided he didn't want to be with her anymore and got with a girl who he had previously broken up with. So she's given a sad story about her life and her fucking dad cheated on her mom and the mom left him, but the mom was kind of a bitch. And her mom was like heavy into drugs and shit. And she never forgave her mom for it and kind of idealized her dad. And she just mentioned and this is important later, she mentioned that she found out that when her dad died, his second wife gave her all these love letters that he had written to her mom, but he never sent them. And she ended up just burning them. She never told her mom. And the reason she didn't tell her mom was she said her mom didn't deserve to know that he still loved her.
Mm-hmm.
She really hates her mom. And her mom now has, like, cancer and is in the hospital and is dying. But she never visits her. So the shrink is telling her to visit her. And she does. And the mom didn't really seem that bad, in all honesty. Like, the shrink was trying to tell her, like, you're kind of holding a grudge for no reason. Like, you say you forgave her, but you really... Like, you can tell someone you forgive them, but if you still hold on to all the shit, you haven't really forgiven them.
Exactly.
Which is true. You know, it was good advice. And when the session was up, she's like, yeah, you should probably go visit your mom. But she did. She went and visited her mom. But her thinking about all this shit with the dad and, you know, unexpressed love and such made her go to, what's the main character's name?
Dylan.
Either? Dylan. It makes her go to Dylan's apartment because she still has a key to Dylan's apartment. And he's not there. Like, she just fucking walks in. She's walking around. And she's like, well, everything pretty much looks the same except the picture he had of me and him. Like, that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the one thing she took away. And she starts crying and then hears him come home with his new girlfriend. So she decides, well, can't be caught crying in his bedroom, so I'm going to hide in the closet. And of course she hides in the closet and him and his new girlfriend, you know, they fuck and she has to listen to it and remarks, how this is like something her mom may have done.
And she's lamenting. He's like, oh, there's a guy who I kind of have still have feelings for and I have to listen to him have sex with his new girlfriend.
Yeah, and then the issue ended.
Well, actually, no, it doesn't end with that. Obviously she's in the closet and she's trying to focus on anything else that's going on. And while in the closet, she noticed a bunch of Dylan's pills. And she looks
at him. And she takes him to the pharmacy, and
the pharmacist pretty much tells him, he's like, yeah, if you're on psycho meds, you shouldn't be taking stuff like this.
Well, it was like a low dose of Valium that he was just taking, apparently recreationally.
As opposed to his meds that he's supposed to be taking after, you know, the thing in the first issue where he fell out of the building.
Yeah, which again is another hint that he's the guy's cuckoo. Here's the thing. I hate the main character. I find him incredibly unlikable. And not in a good way. Like, this chick, like, I thought they developed her pretty well. I got what she was going through, and this was a fine read. He's a talented writer. But
Ed Brubaker is a great writer.
Yeah, well, still, I'm just saying. Ed Brubaker is a talented writer. I have no interest in this story.
Okay, can I will and deal with you then?
Yes.
If you don't want to read Kill or Be Killed anymore, can I not read Lucifer then?
Yes.
Okay, deal.
We will drop them both from the show. I will continue to read Lucifer.
Though. That should be the gimmick now. If there's a book that you don't want to read anymore that I still like, then that should give me grounds to stop reading a book that you like.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Both of them are dropping.
Excellent. All right, that's going to do it for the Image portion of the show. Let's move on to Marvel, and I don't know how we're going to do this, but Amazing Spider-Man, issue 25, writer Dan Slott, art by Giuseppe Comunicoil.
Oh, it's easy. I didn't read any of the backups.
Oh, perfect. Actually, one of them was important, but you were smart to not read most of them because they were not important in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. This book was like 800 pages long, so I read the main story.
Yeah.
And that was it. So, Peter has S.H.I.E.L.D. working with him, and they're going to get Osborn with the information he got from Kingpin about where Osborn was, which was in Clone Conspiracy Omega or something.
Mm-hmm.
So he got the – and they did recap it, so you knew that he got the info from Kingpin as a favor paid off. So – Peter's got S.H.I.E.L.D. working with him, and he has, what's her face?
Mockingbird.
Thunderbolts.
Mockingbird?
Yeah, Mockingbird's with him. And, two guys from the local government in the country Osborn was in. Mm-hmm. He thought he was masquerading as this other character, but they ended up, you know, there's a big fight, and they end up catching the character, and S.H.I.E.L.D. did every test on him, DNA, fingerprints, everything. He's not Osborn. So then we cut to Osborn, who looked like this guy, who looked like a monster. Osborn looked like him. So it turned out Kingpin's information was correct. Osborn was masquerading as this guy, but now that this guy has been caught, Osborn went downstairs, his hidden mansion, where he has a evil plastic surgeon.
An on-call doctor that, you know, given Osborn calling can immediately change his face.
Yeah, and Osborn was considering just going back to Norman Osborn. But he didn't. He picked a different face. And Spider-Man's all upset because he couldn't get Osborn. So he goes to a Parker Foundation charity event. And, you know, Harry's there and everything. And, by the way, Harry mentioned his son and then little Normie. So he has two kids, and one of them is named Little Normie. So Little Normie existing across universes in the Marvel Universe. Little Normie is gonna get over. But he didn't appear, so. Osborn was there in his new face, which is just like a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very upset to learn that Harry Osborn no longer goes by Osborn. He goes by Harry Lyman, his mother's maiden name.
Mm-hmm.
He was upset with that Harry would turn his back on good old Norman.
It's funny they did that, and there was a cute little moment where Norman Osborn was making his way through the crowd, and somebody calls Harry, but they call him by his last name.
And there's Mr. Osborn.
Yeah, and there's a second where Norman freaks out, like he thinks the jig's up, but it's obviously someone calling Harry, and that's how we find out he changed his last name.
Yeah, because he explained to him, he's like, hey, you work here, so you should know that's not my name. This is my name, you bitch. And, you know, that's the whole thing. So Norman's current plan is apparently to target Aunt May.
Yes.
Because Peter's entire fucking life revolves around his aging aunt. Well, he did sell his marriage to the devil.
Well, and also, to be fair, her husband just died, so it kind of makes sense that he's treating her with kid gloves. He obviously doesn't want her being alone. Initially, the plan was for Harry and his wife to watch over to Aunt May as he does this thing for the Uncle Ben Foundation.
And she told him she didn't want it. Like, she's like, come on, I'm a grown woman, I'm fine. Like, it's sad, but I'm okay. I already lost one husband.
That should be her gimmick. She actively kills whoever she marries.
It never hurts as much the second time.
Or hey, another one of the person that she was romantically involved with that died, Doc Ock.
Well, that was a gimmick, though.
But still, that should be.
Because we know Doc Ock isn't into elderly women; he's into little women.
That should be his gimmick going, or that should be Aunt May's gimmick going for the Black Widow.
Everyone Aunt May gets with dies. That's going to be a problem in the new Spider-Man movie, though, because it's Marissa Tomei, and she can get younger guys.
That's true.
By the way, how great does she look for being like 50?
Is she legit 50, or is that the character she's supposed to be portraying 50?
I think she might. I gotta look this up. This is good for the show. You should all look up pictures of her. Oh, I forgot. Jack restarted my computer, and whenever my computer restarts,
it's okay. 52, dude.
Yeah, she's 52. Jesus Christ, and I'd still toss it in.
Yep.
And, good for her.
And the as we start to head towards the end of the recap of what happened in this book, it seems like someone who has cloaking technology has a sniper rifle and is going to off of, presumably you assume either Harry or Aunt May, and Spider-Man confronts the person, revealing that Silver Sable, and then Silver Sable basically said, "You just saved Norman Osborn's life." The idea being gimmick, she along with Spider-Man was actively trying to hunt down Norman Osborn. And I'm curious to see how they bring, what their justification for bringing back Silver Sable was. Is it maybe a Secret Wars thing where it just happened as a result of Secret Wars, or are they going to explain the next issue why Silver Sable was just suddenly back?
I thought it was a horribly disappointing reveal because I give no shits about Silver Sable.
Well, like we talked about in the newest portion of the show, Marvel's turning back the hands of time, and they think everything that was over in the 90s they got to bring back. And
yeah, let's do. She wasn't over in the 90s, dude. That character was never really over.
Well, they pushed her really hard in the 90s, so
moderately. She got her own book.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
Part of the mainline story in this, and Coughlin posted it on Facebook, and I found it hilarious. They were fighting, I believe, in Hong Kong, and Spider-Man was beating up a bunch of.
Oh yeah.
Gangsters there, and he's like, I feel kind of bad because I'm beating up a bunch of Asians.
Everyone we're hitting is Asian, and my software does. She goes, okay, we're in Hong Kong, so all of the good guys and all of the bad guys are Asian. And he's like, and she's like, well, would it feel better if we went somewhere and fought guys who all wore masks? And he just goes, yes. He's like, well, I'm used to, you know, beating people up with no. Without thinking about their race, he's like, you know, in New York, and she's just kind of like, this is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard. But it was stupid, but Spider-Man, you know, he's kind of a goof, so.
Yeah, and the rest of the backups you didn't miss much on. There was one backup where you wound up being correct in the grand scheme. What's the name of the character? What was the name of the character from The Learn to Crawl with the sonic vibration suit?
Clash.
He was in one of the backups, and they reveal going forward that he's kind of a Robin Hood, but he's very clearly a bad guy.
Yeah.
So you wound up being right as far as that was concerned.
Because they didn't do all that shit with that character to just abandon the character. Now, after Slott leaves, the character might be abandoned. Or... they'll bring him back to kill him in a big Spider-Man crossover written by Bendis.
Yeah, you'll like this because one of the places that Clash had broken into, they were doing a and you'll like this considering you're a big Morrison mark. They were doing this thing where they were taking stray animals and they were putting them into giant cybernetic suits.
Oh, like We Three.
Yep. So I marked out a little bit for that. The rest of the series weren't that good. You had one where they had the Zoom, the stupid little sausage toy. They had a story of that. They had a story of Spider-Man teaming up and fighting this electric and fire duo, which I found to be completely worthless. They had a little
next book.
Okay, let me go over. I'll skip over the other two backups, but there was one important backup where they revealed that Doc Ock had taken the perfection clone, or the what was it, the perfected clone body, and that going forward he's going to be the superior octopus, because he breaks into his old lab. And he's looking to pick up where exactly where he left off, but he's confronted with a bunch of Hydra goons, and as well as who's the dude with the video chest?
Arnim Zola.
He's confronted by Arnim Zola and a bunch of Hydra goons, and they convince him to work with them. And it's then that they do the big reveal that Otto Octavius going forward, and the perfected clone body is the superior octopus.
Jesus Christ!
I liked it.
Yeah, I know, but
I marked out.
Dr. Octopus is one of your boys.
No, he's not. He's too... Remember, we went over this. He's too high profile to be a boy.
Okay.
I like
I'm so even... over that character. I don't care.
Yeah, well, apparently Slott in...
And I always thought he should be in the Norman Osborn spot. I thought he was a much better, you know, number one villain for Spider-Man. But now they've done so much, it's like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, and apparently what it looks like is he's going to be part of the Secret Empire storyline of Doc Ock's hooking up with Hydra. Which you'll be glad to know, it sort of takes Doc Ock down a notch as opposed to being his own villain. He's just part of Hydra and Cap being the evil leader of Hydra. Right. Great Lakes Avengers Issue 6, writer Zeke Gorman, art by Will Robson.
What is this? I'm sorry.
Great Lakes Avengers, you fool.
Well, this book is getting canceled. Do we even have to talk about it?
And it's funny you should bring that up, because not a whole lot happened in this book, too.
Bertha fought the evil doctor who stole her fat powers.
Mm-hmm.
Try to make a health food drug.
I like their group name. Dr. Nod and the Bod Squad.
Yeah, Dr. Nod and the Bod Squad, he decided to overdose on the pill to make him more powerful than Bertha, but he still wanted to sell his pill. So when he took too much of it, it made him kind of like the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like rampaging through the town telling people they have to buy the pill to get a good bod like him.
And I like the way, because he's reverted to even Hulk talk. He's like, you take pill, it make you skinny.
Yeah, the highlight of this book was... Doorman
as the Angel of Death,
yeah, who like appears before a guy and he, you know, he dies and his ghost is there. He's like, all right, well, I gotta send you to the endless void now. And he's like, oh, maybe I can see this person. He's like, nah, you won't see anyone because you exist in nothingness, you don't even have consciousness anymore.
My favorite part is like, okay, if you're gonna take me to the Black Abyss, can I at least see, you know, an old girlfriend who I kind of had
Irene.
Can I see Irene just one last time before I pass on? And they're going from house to house to try to find Irene. He's like, well, we can't find her. He's like, come on, let's just go to one more house. I swear she's there. And they finally get to the final house and they look at Irene. And it's like, wait, she's with another guy here. And it's clearly not this new guy that
well,
you...
Well, no, it wasn't that. It wasn't that she was with another guy there. It was that he was continually taking him to places he knew she didn't live at,
mm-hmm.
and eventually found out it was just a picture of his brother and his wife, and he made it all up because he didn't want to leave. And Doorman tells him, he's like, listen, I gotta take a body back or a ghost back or they're not gonna like me. And then the guy who lives in one of these houses shows up, sees a ghost and Doorman and has a heart attack and dies. So he's like, well, I got the ghost I was supposed to get. So they end up in the Flatmobile, which is a shitty Winnebago, by the way. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Immortal knows nothing about fixing a Winnebago, we found out. They just kind of appear in it, and he's like, oh, who's the ghost? And he's like, I'm his sidekick. And Doorman's like, you're not at all. But since he'd already taken a ghost to the void, he didn't need to take him anymore. So now he's just kind of hanging out, which is a great gimmick. Mm-hmm. And a good boy who left with her brother found out of the destruction going on in Detroit. So she escaped and headed back to help. This storyline will get resolved, at least, before the book is canceled.
Yeah, but then that's probably going to be the end of the book right then and there.
It's really fine. This book doesn't... I mean, the Great Lakes Avengers should be held to a miniseries every, like, 3 years.
I was the one saying going forward, it's like they should stop giving books their own series. Because when they get canceled, I feel sad.
Whereas yeah, if like, it's, just give them a mini.
Yeah, give them a mini. If it does really well, you can announce the series going forward, but... Especially when you're talking Great Lakes Adventures, like, you know it's not going past its issues.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Another series that probably end, because you straight up said halfway through you lost interest in the book, but U.S. Avengers issue 4, writer Al Ewing, art by Paco Medina.
Yeah, I read about 6 pages of this.
Did you get up to
read it far enough to get to the Deadpool part of the story, and I'm like, no, I don't care.
Well, let me explain to you how the book was set up, because you gave up on that part.
The book's getting canceled, by the way. I guarantee
it. That's why I opened this review. I was like, speaking of books that are going to get canceled. I like the way this is set up. Let me read the solicitation, because maybe you missed out on. Do you hate tie-ins with a fiery passion, true believer? Well, this isn't one. It's a complete epic in 20-page pulse-pounding pages in the wake of Monsters Unleashed. Basically, what he was doing was he had an entire event complete with tie-ins in one
book.
Yes,
he did, and that part was cute because, like, when Deadpool Monster showed up and Red Hulk would fight him, they had a to-be-continued, mm-hmm. and then it went to a Deadpool story, which had a new cover. Like, all these different stories had covers. But they were like 3 pages long, and then it would go back to the other story, and then it would split into another story. It was kind of cute.
I tweeted to Al Ewing, and I'm like, we get it, Al. Marvel does a lot of crossovers.
Yeah, it's like, it was a cute idea, but I didn't care. Like, I didn't care enough to read it. I got what he was doing, and I thought it was funny, but. You know, that's enough.
And there was this one cute part where the scientist in this, the one who had turned Deadpool into the monster, he had American Kaiju there, but the gimmick was after the last arc, he couldn't turn into American Kaiju anymore. And there was this one scene where he's strapped to the chair. He's like, I'm so puny, and I don't have a chair, and I don't have a tail. He's like, I wish I was big again, then you'd all see my tail. Nice. I'm like, he's so goofy. Yeah, and the rest of it, I'm like, I kind of just, you know, I read it, but I'm just like, okay, I get it. It's, you know, American Kaiju's back. The new Red Hulk had to fight him, and they made quick work of him, and Deadpool was involved. But other than that, this read like a one-off, and it wasn't super important. And I think going forward, like you mentioned, this book's going to get canceled. And if going forward you don't want to read this book anymore, I'm certainly not going to blame you. I'm one person that was not on board with this series from the get-go. And
we're dropping all kinds of books this week.
Yeah, I'm shocked we made it to 4 issues, to be honest. I was the one that wanted to push for this issue because I was a big fan of American Kaiju. But even American Kaiju can't save this book, and they pretty much wrapped up American Kaiju, so the only reason why I had to read this book was pretty much wrapped up in this issue.
Well, that's good because this show's going ridiculously long, so we need to kick out some of these books.
Yeah. All right, we got
Let's four. Make it happen.
Yes, we got 4 books left for those of you who are wondering, and one of them is, speaking of Avengers, Uncanny Avengers issue 21, writer Jerry Duggan, art by Pepe Lazar.
This was all right.
It was a great workaround how they finally Deadpool finally fought his way back against Red Skull.
Made total sense. So Deadpool, it turned out, he secretly had Magneto's helmet the whole time,
mm-hmm.
and when at an opportune moment he put it on Rogue's head. And if you don't read a lot of comics, you might ask yourself, who gives a shit? Why the fuck would he put Magneto's helmet on her head? Magneto's helmet, he designed it so that it would not be affected by Xavier's powers. So it broke Red Skull's mind control of Rogue. So she pounded the shit out of Red Skull. Deadpool thought he was there to kill him, but his healing factor hadn't kicked in yet. He had the shit kicked out of him. So he couldn't do it, but Rogue took him. She beat the shit out of him, knocked him unconscious, took him to Beast, and told Beast, basically, we gotta perform some brain surgery here. She's gonna have Beast yank Xavier's brain out of Red Skull. The funniest part of this book was, I bury Red Skull's daughter all the time.
And
it's a shit character nobody cares about.
And they buried her firmly under the ground.
Oh god, 6 feet under. Fucking Red Skull's like, Deadpool's chasing him. Like, if you want to, was it Deadpool or was it Rogue? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
One of the characters was going after Red Skull. He's like, oh, well, you'll have to get through my daughter. It just fucking decks her.
Oh, it must have been Rogue, because I think Deadpool was still on the floor healing.
Yeah, so Rogue just punches her and knocks her through a door. That was Sin's appearance in this book.
I got a question about the Magneto helmet. So it stops people from, or stops Xavier from probing into Magneto's mind, right?
It stops any, people with psychic powers can't get into his head.
Does it work? Does it work if, had they put the helmet on Red Skull?
I don't think he could, would he be able to use his powers?
Basically, if they want to stop Red Skull cold in his tracks, would they have been able to, like, let's just say, for instance, sneak up behind him and then just force the helmet on him, and it would
I think break- it keeps people from affecting your mind. Like people can't read your brain or control you, but I don't think it would stop you. I don't know. It doesn't matter. They knocked him out. That story has never been done.
Mm. Yeah, so that was this week's Uncanny.
Oh, and they scooped up Cable.
Yeah, they scooped up Cable. They're trying to figure out what's going on. Rogue manages to get a hold of Red Skull, knocks him out. As he's out, she makes a dash to New Attilan, to Beast, to hopefully remove the Xavier brain from Red Skull's brain, I assume.
Yeah, that's what she suggested. Cable, I think they're going to take him to Jean Grey.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were like, well, who's the most powerful psychic, you know? And somebody mentioned Jean Grey.
Oh, speaking of that, someone was quick to point out one of the sites I go to. They had panels of this Uncanny Avengers, and they were talking about it. It's like, okay, Beast is really great when it comes to technology, right? And they said, haven't they established before in the past that Beast doesn't know anything as far as when it comes to, like, surgery and as far as, you know...
Sure he does. He's a doctor. He's Dr. McCoy.
That's what people said. It's like, just because you're good at technology doesn't mean you can perform surgery on a human body.
No, he's a doctor.
Okay, there's lots of doctors that have doctorates in different kinds of fields.
No, he's got a doctorate in science. Which means he can do anything, as the story demands. He's not limited, like Forge. Just build stuff.
But I'm like, it's like that. This is coming from readers I'm sure read X-Men titles. Like, yeah, they've established that Beast is not really one to perform surgery.
I'm sure I've seen issues before where Beast was in a lab coat helping out. In fact, we have read X-Men comics recently where someone was hurt and Beast was the one who was talking about how they were doing. Also, Beast was brought to New Attilan to do the testing on the Terrigen Mist and how it affected mutants, which would be biological testing.
But it's just funny how you just assume in the in comic books, he's smart, so he should be able to perform surgery as well as make new machines.
I believe it's established he knows medicine and brain surgery.
That's the one thing I always found funny, because I know that this is a very quick movie talk. They made Tony Stark make Ultron. I'm like, yeah, that always made sense, because how do you have a biochemist in Hank Pym make a robot in Ultron? That didn't make sense.
He's one of the smartest guys in the world.
All right, let's move on to Mighty Thor issue 17, Writer Jason Aaron, art by Russell Daterman.
They continued with the God Games, but Thor very quickly just kept saying, can we fight?
Didn't she already try to fight them in the last issue?
Yes, and failed. And she failed again here, but luckily the Asgardian warriors showed up, and they're going to help her fight. She used the super storm that's inside Mjolnir, thus explaining why we got the Mjolnir storyline, the origin of Mjolnir. But then all the games started being like, get someone to sacrifice something for you, and there was like a genocide game, and like she wouldn't play any of these games. So she just wanted to fight them, but to do the trial by combat, they had to, bring out the ultimate something. Or the more important thing about this is the games are over and Loki is the one who set all this into motion.
Mm-hmm.
Loki basically went to the Shi'ar gods and said, like, hey, nobody even knows who you guys are, but everybody knows who Thor is. And they got jealous, and that's why they came at her. Again, when Loki was walking away from them, he did not look overly pleased with himself.
No, he looked like he was a guy that was sort of forced to do this because he was being watched by Malekith. Yeah.
So they're still teasing that Loki is, in fact, not bad.
Yes.
So we had that, and, they're having a big fight.
Yep. That was pretty much this issue.
Yeah.
Good issue. Liked it. I saw the cover of the next issue, and I'm very excited of the direction going forward, so.
Okay. I'll find out when it comes out.
Yes. Miss Marvel, issue 16, writer G. Willow Wilson, art by Takeshi Miyagawa.
So she's still fighting the evil virus, and the evil virus said, okay, you have to take this, you have to upload me into S.H.I.E.L.D.'s server, or I'm going to release everywhere that your friend is gay for your Muslim friend.
And also that you're Miss Marvel.
Yeah, and that you're Miss Marvel. Because
the first thing was, she was quick to confront him. He's like, oh, it's like, she tried to play it off cool. She's like, I don't care. You can tell whoever you want who I am.
Listen, I want to put over G. Willow Wilson for the resolution on this because it went a completely different way from what every other comic is doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
First she actually went up to like the helicarrier like Coulson let her on because Coulson has to be in every fucking book. And she was going to do it, but then she decided, no, this isn't what heroes do. So she went to Zoe and she told her everything that was happening, in Miss Marvel costume, busts into her room and is like, there's an evil computer virus who's sentient and he's going to tell everyone that you're gay. And she's like, oh, hi, okay. So she decided before he does this, she's going to go tell the girl. And she does. She goes and sits on, she like asks her out for coffee or to eat or something. And they go out and then, she very awkwardly tells her that she's in love with her. And unlike every other comic, the girl tells her like, hey, you're my friend and I love you. I cannot love you like that because I'm not gay, but I still support you and I love you. And they hugged and it was a very nice moment. I had assumed the Muslim girl was going to say she was gay, which would raise a lot of questions in me. But they didn't do that.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, they didn't say whether or not she was gay. She just said, I don't have feelings for you.
No, she said, I can't feel that way.
Oh, okay.
About you. Like I'm not gay. Which if this was any other book in current climate, she would have been gay and this girl would have been gay and they would have got married and then Miss Marvel would have been gay.
If it was, the America book.
Gay is the new black. In comics.
Apparently.
We're going to get gay Tony Stark. We already had black and teen Tony Stark, so we're going to get a gay one. He's got that mustache. But she then took Virus Guy, who was on her phone, to the middle of a field because he can't mind control Miss Marvel. And if she took him to the middle of a field, he would not be able to jump into anything. So she basically just told him, do your worst, and blah, blah, blah. And he was really mad that he wasn't in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Did anything else happen? Oh, yeah, she called Bruno.
Yeah, she saw, help me out with this situation. He was very reluctant, but he's like, I kind of need you to help me with this situation. It's like, I understand where left off is not good, but I need you to help me with the superhero thing. This is not really a personal thing. This is just something I need you to help me with in Jersey City.
He didn't want to help her.
Yeah.
Because he's still pissed at her, and he fucking lives in Wakanda now. So he is mad at her, but once he saw the code of this virus, he's like, oh, this is actually really interesting. Like, the thing, it gets smarter. It learns from all the people who are on a device it is infected with. And then Miss Marvel declares that if it learns, she knows how to beat it. And we don't know what that is, because that was the cliffhanger. But Miss Marvel knows how to defeat the evil computer virus. Miss Marvel really needs villains. Like, her villains so far have been a creepy bird head guy.
Mm-hmm.
Evil capitalist guy. Who was not as cool as the head of Roxxon, the Minotaur. Nowhere near as evil. And a computer virus. Those are her villains. Not very exciting.
Not at all.
But she is a lovable character. And she was very funny in this. And I still enjoy this book. I enjoy Kamala Khan.
Yes. It's a very good book. It's a very interesting direction going forward with this book. One thing we missed over was they did the reveal of the guy who made the virus, but the guy who made the virus didn't intentionally make it to be this evil thing that was going to blackmail Kamala.
No.
He just wanted to prove that he could create the virus, and he sent it to this one goofball kid thinking, oh, this is going to be a great way to spread the virus, but the thing he didn't count on was for the virus to learn and eventually start thinking on its own and blackmailing people.
Yep. Good issue.
All right, in our final book this week, Punisher Issue 10, writer Becky Cluen, art by says Steve Dillon again, here on Comic List.
This did look like Steve Dillon.
Well, it was made with, you know, obviously him in mind, but let's see, the artist on this is Max Horak, and I want to do a big shout out to Becky Cluen and Mac Horak here, because they helped, I mean, basically, you know, I run our Twitter and I occasionally write funny stuff, but they got the thing to go viral. We got like 100 likes and like 44 retweets. So big thanks for that. Appreciate it. And the reason why they put that over, because there was this awesome scene with Punisher swinging a bear chain.
Yeah, or, it was never actually explained why Punisher, when attacking Condor's base, decided to attack not with guns, but with knives and a bear trap on a chain. And he very quickly in this book, and this book right on the cover said, basically, this is not for kids.
No.
And it wasn't. He's on a motorcycle. He swings the bear trap at a dude and rips his face off. And then he rips another guy's arm off. He did a lot of bad things in this bear trap. While this is going on, you know, they've got the head of Condor, and he's talking to Olaf, who is, in storyline, he is, Punisher's former commanding officer, who turned mercenary. And Condor was his mercenary group, but this guy who was in charge of it, he wanted to sell this drug that makes you, like, you know, a super fighter, but that it causes you incredible pain and you die.
The drug is called EMC.
Yeah. So he says, he's given a speech and he's like, you guys don't have to be soldiers anymore. You're not going to have to go fight for yourselves. All you have to do is sell this stuff to people, and we could sell it to suicide bombers and this and that. And eventually we could sell it to the United States government, and this is what we're gonna do now. And then he gets shot, and you think, oh, it was the Punisher. It was not. It was Olaf, who was very upset that he wanted to turn his noble mercenary group into drug dealers, and declared, no, everyone here is gonna be a soldier, and we'll get rid of all the guys who aren't soldiers, and we're gonna be the best fucking group ever. Rah!
And we're gonna call it Outer Heaven.
Well, Punisher's probably gonna kill him though. Punisher is big boss.
No, in this scenario, would that make him Solid Snake?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, because he was his trait. Well, he's not a clone though. Yeah. In this scenario, Punisher would be Solid Snake,
mm-hmm.
and Olaf would be Naked Snake.
Ah.
Or Venom Snake, or whatever. I don't know. Boss. I still haven't played five. Big Boss.
Metal Gear, huh?
Big Boss, huh?
And the EMC. Oh, and the EMC is Metal Gear.
Metal Gear. Huh? No, because they want to get rid of the EMC.
Oh, okay.
The Run EMC.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. That's the end.
Yep, that's going to do it for this week's books. Let's move on to our final segment. Next week's books. Read more. Okay, usually I let the song go on for a little bit, but this is so bad.
That is the... I remember when everybody was pretending like that was a good song.
The rest of it, honestly, aside from the lyrics, like, it's relatively unoffensive, but the lyrics...
What lyrics? The lyrics are Bree mode and then...
Besties! Yeah, but that's go-away heat. It
doesn't even mean anything.
Right? I don't know. And here's the thing. The gimmick has always been we pick a bad wrestling song, but this is maybe too bad. Listening to that thing on the show right now, because I didn't preview it, I was like, yeah, this is especially bad, because most of the songs
we pick... I could find worse, dude.
Oh, worse than the Brie Bella theme?
Oh, God, like, a lot of TNA... Rob Van Dam!
Oh, no, that's kind of fun, though.
Okay, what about Tommy Dreamer's Guy in a Crate?
Okay, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, his fucking Man in a Box knockoff. Oh, God. What, dude, you know what we have to do next week? We have to do Black Reign's theme.
As long as we're keeping up, we're very much big fans of the OSW review, and they announced later earlier this week that they're, or was it last week, I think, they announced they're doing a new arc.
Oh, I'm so hyped, and it's TNA 2007.
Yes, and for those of you who don't know or don't care about pro wrestling, OSW review is old school wrestling. It's a video podcast, and Black Reign is basically a notoriously bad wrestling character.
Yeah, it was Goldust when he got really fat and was fucked on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you mention it to him on Twitter, he will block you. Because it was a dark time in his life when he had to go work for TNA. All right, next week's books. At the start, we have Alters number 5.
Ooh, way ahead of me already.
What? No, it's...
I have it pulled up here, but you made a quick pivot. I was like, okay, he's going to take a while. Oh. But no, it's Aftershock.
Yeah. Alters, number 5. And then Black Hammer, number 7.
Speaking of wrestling, we're not even going to bother with WWE anymore.
No.
Because you missed the last issue.
Yeah. Action Comics, 976. Doom Patrol, 5. Flash 19. Hal Jordan and Guy Gardner's Fun Time Adventures.
Woo! 17.
Teen Titans 6. Wonder Woman 19. Looking. Okay, I have to read you this. I pulled this up earlier. I saw Transformers vs. G.I. Joe movie adaptation number 1. And I said, there is no Transformers vs. G.I. Joe movie. Here is the write-up. Imagine a world where the greatest comic book crossover of all time inspires a movie adaptation. And that movie adaptation inspires its own comic book.
That's kind of meta.
What would the comic book adaptation of the movie version of the comic book look like?
That's pretty funny. I will say that.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm not going to read it.
Oh, come on. Let's put that in the maybe pile for now.
Okay, put it in the maybe pile because I don't really want
to
read.
It sounds so meta. I have to read it, if not for my personal enjoyment, because that sounds awesome.
I have a feeling they're trying too hard, yeah. But That's just me. I could be wrong. Descender, number 20. Reborn, number 5.
Yeah, you're checking to see if it's a reprint, aren't you?
Yes. Ringside, number 9.
God, it's been like forever since we've read that.
Well, yeah, he probably took a break. Amazing Spider-Man, Renew Your Vows, number 5. Black Panther, number 12. Okay, I propose we don't read any X-Men books until the relaunch.
Why? What's the book?
Extraordinary X-Men. Like, it doesn't matter. They're doing a relaunch.
Yeah, and it's fine. I don't care.
Yeah, so. Do you want to read Fool Killer?
I don't care.
A lot of books.
Well, let's put that in the maybe pile then, too.
Okay, Hulk 4.
Alex Online actively cut back on books now?
I never thought just because this week it was a little tough. There's a new Iron Fist book with no writer or artist listed.
Normally that means no. We'll continue with the list. I'll pull up Marvel.com, see if I can find the author on that.
Ultimates 2, number 5. Uncanny Inhumans 20. Unworthy Thor, 5 of 5.
Ooh, we're finally going to figure out what would happen.
You have a small penis.
That's what Jane told me.
And then from Valiant, we have Bloodshot Reborn 0 and Exo Manowar number 1. The Return. Oh my god, there's a Legend of Zelda chess set?
Nerd.
How much does this cost? $8 million?
Probably.
I can all teach my son how to play chess with Zelda.
All the monies?
All the monies in the world.
Yep.
Listen. Millions of monies.
Okay.
I don't know.
Excluding our maybes, we have 19 books. And our maybes include Fool Killer and Transformers vs. G.I. Joe.
I will read Transformers vs. G.I. Joe.
Yay! Let me read this. Just for my personal enjoyment, I'm going to read the solicitation for Fool Killer. Maybe it's something good. If not, then I'm not going to miss that title.
Guest starring Kamala Khan and Squirrel Girl. That's a guess.
No, it's Fool Killer vs. Fool Killer. Apparently, they're following up on that last storyline where he fought...
Oh, they're finishing the story?
Yeah, so not a big deal.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not finding the creative on that Iron Fist book. Let me see. If you thought Comic List was hard to navigate, just try the Marvel website. It's like, oh, we make movies and sometimes release comic books.
We make movies.
Oh, God. No, we tell stories.
We tell stories. I think he says we make movies in the movie. And then he smiles.
Oh, the writer on the Iron Fist book is the guy who's writing Old Man Logan. Bryson?
Jeff Lemire?
No. Remember we had the story last week that Lemire was leaving Marvel and there was a new writer on Old Man Logan? It's the Bryson guy.
One of us will read it and we'll tell the other one if it's good.
So basically I'm going to read it and tell you if it's good.
Yeah. Because I certainly don't read anything extra.
But the thing is, if I hate it, you may want to read it because there's a
gimmick.
That's
not always true, though.
That's true. I did enjoy the Neil Gaiman book.
Yeah, sometimes you enjoy good books and sometimes you enjoy shit books.
Sometimes I like chocolate and sometimes I like vanilla.
Which we found out is the shade of skin the man fucking Vince that night has.
Vince McMahon. We're the person who said that was allegedly Pat Patterson. Or
he says that all the time. It's also a nice way of saying Vince is a fickle bitch.
Yeah, as far as long term, he has no real plans. Oh well. All right, that's going to do it for this week's show. So from all of us at halfcard.com, thanks for checking out this week's show. And as always, check you guys out next week Adios.
I parlayed that into a wrestling career that, if I may say so myself, was quite excellent.